star and wake up where the clouds are far behind me. Where troubles melt like lemon drops away above the chimney tops. That's where you
a look, give me the hook or the ovation. It's my world that I want to have a little bride in. My world, and it's not a place I have to hide in. Life's not worth a damn till you can say, I'm
Warning. The following program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
You have tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music geared to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
Houston, Galveston, Huntsville, and the world. This is After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude. Happy Pride Day.
And welcome to our sweatiest show of the year.
We had enough time to dry off, though. My name is Chris Harrison. I'll be your co-executive producer for this evening.
And I'm Jimmy Carper. I'm the longest-running co-executive producer of this show.
And I'm Wes Laverne, the tiredest one of the show.
Boo-hoo.
And so that's it, huh?
He rode an air-conditioned truck.
Yeah,
well,
but
this is the after-hours version of Queer Voices.
Yeah, you two are probably not used to sitting over there together.
No, they actually do.
Yes, oh, do they?
Just this way. We sit here this way every Monday night, 9 to 11.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they have an engineer. It's like I'm saying, okay, wait for Glenn to show up here.
I know.
He's here in spirit.
In his mesh underwear.
He gets away with that when he comes to visit our show. So, as you heard, we have guests in from our, do we call this your sister show or our brother show?
I think we're all sisters, right?
Yeah, we're sisters.
A sister show, Queer Voices.
A sister show. Jimmy has been kind enough in the past number of years to invite us here to sort of do a wrap-up of Pride.
Mm-hmm.
And I missed last year, but we've done this a number of years. Every year, the last full weekend on Saturday night, there has been a parade since 1997. And it has always been an incredible event. And it is just wonderful to see all those people out there having a wonderful time and that we're able to do this in the city of Houston. We didn't always used to be able to do this. And the fact that we have the city works with us on this, the fact that, and I'm no longer part of the committee, but the committee always has worked hard to put it together. But most importantly, they work with the neighbors in the community. They work with the businesses in the community because it does disrupt life for people who live in Montrose. And they've always done an excellent job of cleaning up the streets after the parade so that we were invited back the following year to do the parade. And over the years, we've always seemed to have this wonderful thing where mostly nobody got hurt. I mean, we've had a few things, but people have a great time and respect each other. And it is so nice to be able to have now the mayor of the city being in the parade. And we've had that for the past couple administrations. And then a lot of council people. And my boss, Jolanda Joe Jones has been in the parade how many years now?
A lot.
A lot, yes. Ever since you've been elected, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and even before that. So it's actually my favorite is parade. Because people just love each other and people don't judge each other and you can be expressive and be who you are, and the city is full of diversity of all kinds, and I just love it. I'm eclectic. I can't always be eclectic, you know, as an elected official, but at Pride, I mean, the beautiful thing about it is everyone can just be who they are and nobody cares.
That's right.
It's expected to be who you are.
Yes.
Yes. Right.
And, you know, one of the problems KPFT has is putting together a unit themselves, because us GLBT programmers are usually very, very busy doing other things.
Yeah.
But thanks for After Hours for putting the float together this year to be part of the parade, because KPFT has been part of the parade for so many years.
Thank God for KPFT.
Thank you.
My voice is going because I was screaming Happy Pride and dancing with people in the streets and... So
that's what you do at Pride.
That's what you're supposed to do,
yeah.
Joe.
We always say it's our sweatiest, our hottest, and our gruffiest voiced show we do. Because when you get through that, it's, you know, this year I didn't try and yell as much as I usually do. But, you know, there's been times I've come back here and I'm making warm lemonade to try and get my voice so I can even talk for the show.
You know, for all the years I've been doing Pride, I've never figured out how all those hundreds of thousands of people could get here, find a parking space, and be in the parade. I know some of them camp out the night before. They have their spaces reserved, or they put their vehicles there. But they all show up, and then they're able to get there. And what's really neat is how the city of Houston also cleans the streets right after that and opens it up so the businesses can get back to doing what they do. The neighborhood in the lineup area, they've always been kind to us to be able to do that, because this is a very, very different parade than most other parades in the city, that we have this neighborhood that we put the parade in, and it's at night.
Mm-hmm.
There was an event yesterday that I went to that My Gay Houston put on, which is part of the city, the convention center. I'm not exactly sure how that all works out, but it was the most incredible event at Discovery Green Park. I just love how that park's set up, that you have this place where people can perform. There was tables on the side for people that you can talk. The lake behind it. It's just a wonderful, wonderful thing that the city has done. And they have other concerts there, but the fact that we had a Pride event there that was put on was just remarkable. And Anthony Rapp was there from, you know, one of my favorite shows.
Rent.
Mm-hmm. Just fabulous. And the musicians there were just great. So it was just great to do that. It's great that how everybody shows up, you know, and they know their parade starts on time. And actually, I think this is a record for the parade ending early. It was like 10:20 when, because I was at the end of the parade watching everybody, you know, end it. We had a number of elected officials. We had candidates in the parade. We had the fire department in the parade. And
we had the police guarding the parade.
The police do a wonderful job.
Safe.
And every year they get nicer.
Well, yeah, they even wave back when you wave at them.
Well, the one police officer we had, we were at the end of our block. And so the police officer was setting up the block at the end so no more traffic could come through. And we were talking with her for a little bit, saying, hey, got water? You need water? We've got, you know, whatever you need, just ask us. We've got something for you.
I tell you what was really interesting is I was prancing around in the parade. I always wanted to wear a tutu because last year I saw these guys in tutus and I thought, dude, that's got to be so fun. So this year I wore a pink tutu because pink is my favorite color.
I saw a lot of tutus.
With cowboy boots, and I had a police officer stop me to take a picture. I think he thought it was interesting, and of course I did too. But so we just had a lot of interaction with everyone. Mm-hmm. I think everyone appreciates it. And
well, and I want to say a couple of things, that this year we really do have something. We have a couple things not to celebrate, but we do have a couple things to celebrate. One is Covenant House has now done a non-discrimination to allow GLBT, the entire spectrum, to take care of the kids and that people will not be harassed. And
especially the transgender people.
The transgender community has worked on that very hard. In fact, you know, when they moved in here, most of us in this community just like, what can we do? Because they were run at that time by the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
They've turned over to be a nonprofit organization now. But and I will toot my horn for my boss here, because we found out that, because they always told us that they did not get federal money or local money or government money, basically, but we found out they did get some money from the housing HUD, and it goes through the city, and Councilmember Jones sits on the housing committee, and when we found that out, we were able to say, wait a minute, you can't just discriminate against people. And the board changed, so that, and Joe, why don't you go ahead and talk about this?
Well, what happened was, I think Kristen Williams came to me and told me there were some issues at the Covenant House with transgendered kids. Yep. She told me that a kid had been killed very shortly after not being allowed to come into the Covenant House, and of course that concerned me immensely. I happened to chair the Housing Committee on City Council. And had always been a supporter of Covenant House and had gone there before I had knowledge of the anti-GLBT sentiment. So when I went there to talk to people who I thought I had a good relationship, I found out there was no recognition. One, that this is the heart of Montrose. I mean, this is the heart of the GLBT community in Houston. And so clearly homeless kids who might come there might be GLBT. But two, there were just like no issues. And then I was told by someone at the Covenant House that they didn't have to worry about those issues anyway because they were 100% privately funded. And seems like I remembered that the city voting on something to fund them in the past. So I did my research. So we didn't sort of find out about it. I actually researched it and determined that they actually got two funding sources that were from HUD. One directly from HUD, which was a little over $200,000, and one from HUD through us that is close to $200,000, so approximately $400,000 of their funding came from HUD, either directly or through us, at which point I decided that I didn't think anyone or any organization should get money from us or from HUD if they weren't going to treat all people equally. And there began my journey working with Kristen Williams and the TG Center and Josephine Titsworth and, I mean, Jack, who are...
The Montrose Counseling Center also, which is great because they're sort of monitoring what's going on now. And, in fact, Deb Murphy of Hatch, who was under Montrose Counseling Center, has actually done workshops over there to train the employees. And there's still, I mean, we've had this past week or week and a half, we had their 6-month anniversary of changing their policy. And there's still a few minor things, but overall, we are absolutely incredibly pleased.
And we monitor them. They come in, we meet at my office or in City Hall, and we are working things out. I mean, it's, you know, they didn't get to where they were overnight, so we've got to, you know, we've got to change some minds and change some hearts, and so I stay, you know, I'm me, so I tell them, if they are not making good faith efforts, and this from what I've heard, they're much better than they were. They still have some things to work out.
But they're willing to work on that. And the other interesting thing is that they're using this as the pilot project to do it in other cities.
Oh, good.
So they're rewriting the policy. They're putting that together. And then hopefully they're going to take that to the rest of the Covenant Houses across the country. So Houston made some history here.
They actually have rewritten it, and we're tweaking it. When you do something for the first time, you've got to work it out and see how it works. So so it's not over. I mean, we just met last week.
And we're going to meet again in 6 months. Yeah,
6 months. And so, interestingly, Andrea Moore, who's on their board, actually won an award this year at the Transgender
Unity Banquet.
At the Unity Banquet, because she was the first person there who was receptive and really, you know, had to be educated on some things, but they really have worked really hard, and I hear that's pretty historic, so I'm glad to have been a part of it.
Well,
thank you, Joe.
Exactly. I want to thank you for that, because I've always thought that the way Covenant House was run was a travesty in this community, and they shouldn't have been here at all if that was their attitude. And I'm really glad to see that change around.
The other thing that happened this past week, you know, we do not have any protection as GLBT people from the city, state, or county. One of the problems of doing that at the city is the fact that the mayor sets the agenda. So council cannot just go up there and say, hey, we'd like to do this. It is very difficult for council to actually put something on the agenda. So we're still waiting for that. However, at HISD, one of the largest school districts in the country, this past week they have passed an all-inclusive anti-bullying non-discrimination for the students, and that was passed 7-0.
Wow.
They're on track now also to do the same thing in their next board meeting in August, to do that for the employees, which include the teachers. And luckily, we have just recently in the past election elected two of the new school board members. But the fact that there was two absent, but 7-0, this was passed. And Jennifer Renee has been working on this for the past 3.5 years behind the scenes.
Oh, my goodness.
Chris Bugsby also has been working on it 2 years. But the enlightenment also of the board to be able to do that. And, you know, I know how Jennifer used to talk about this. She was frustrated calling the board members every week about moving this forward. But finally, it has been done.
Yeah. After I stepped down as president of the Houston GLBT Political Caucus in January of 2009, in my farewell statement, I pledged that I was going to continue working with HISD. I prefer to work behind the scenes, working with the administration and the board to get the language in there. We were focusing in at that time on employment. Protect the teachers and the employees of HISD. And it was slow going at first. Saavedra, with all his promises, he already knew he was on his way out, so he wasn't willing to take any chances or to push anything forward. We had members of the board who were just anti-gay, period. They didn't want to hear anything about the GLBT community. So the only place we could start was within the administration itself, and working with a number of individuals, one of them being the general counsel, who was put out a letter to me after about 6 months of conversations, that a three-page letter saying HISD was complying with everything in law and they had no reason why they had to do anything else and did not recommend it. And undaunted, and a little coaching from Phyllis Fry, who said, well, go find a reason why they should that's not in law. And so what I did is I compiled case law in which school districts around the country had been sued because they didn't have any kind of policy concerning sexual orientation, gender identity, and how many of them they lost and how much money they had to pay out.
Ooh.
It was a 32-page document amounting to, in that year, close to $32 million that school districts had to pay out to individuals due to the fact that they had no policy. Whenever a gay person or a lesbian person or a trans person was affected, they handled it poorly and left themselves open to lawsuits. And in doing so, I pointed out to, you know, how Price Waterhouse and some other case law had really created a protection for transgender individuals. Running parallel with my talking with HISD was Josephine Titsworth's work with University of Houston.
Mm-hmm.
And we were able to get the University of Houston system to write and accept a non-discrimination in policy for transgender people. So we had some groundwork, and it was building over a period of 2.5 years. And so in December, we were able to come to a full agreement on what the language was to be for the student code of conduct. That's about bullying.
Mm-hmm.
And it was going to include sexual orientation, gender identity, and or expression. And then the same language specifically is in their employment.
Mm-hmm.
But as of now, there is protection, because we were able to, with the help of the teachers union, get language in that was implemented by the administration on dealing with anyone who was outed as gay or lesbian, and someone who was already a teacher who announced that they were transgendered and to transition.
Mm-hmm.
And the policy to create a policy that they could transition on the job.
Good.
So Jennifer, what you didn't know, and we were working on the same path, but I don't know that we knew that we were working on the same path. I actually started working on bullying back in 1997 when my friend Christine's son Lawrence killed himself because she was gay and he got bullied. So mm-hmm. I started working with PFLAG back then on bullying and actually talked about case law. I then last year got the mayor to do an executive order signed May of last year that basically did the same thing in the city, and it included gender identity and expression, because I had a transgender staffer and they were trying to be really mean to her, and I wouldn't stand for it. Then there was a little kid at Blackshear Elementary School who tried to kill himself. He was because he was being bullied because people thought he was gay. So what you don't know is that I started working with school board president Paula Harris on the issue.
Well, nothing was going to happen until Paula Harris was elected president.
So I start working with Paula for that child, one, and just to address the issue in the schools, because the way the school handled it was there was a lot to be desired, although we were able to move the baby, because to me, he's a baby. And then Asher, so Paul and I were already working on that. Then Asher dies, right? And I had the opportunity to meet David and Amy, his parents, because I went to his memorial. I was very sad to see that I was the only elected official there, because I just...
Really?
I just thought that, yes, I was. And that's how we became friends. I mean, I didn't go there for any reason other than to support him, because Lawrence had done the same thing. So then I started working with David and Amy on bullying legislation for the state, where I talked to Garnett and Senator Whitmire and all those people. And then Paula and I did an anti-bullying program or seminar at one of the schools in her district, and I invited David and Amy, and she also had a couple of people who work on bullying in HISD. So there's just a lot of things that were happening to sort of make to force this, because they were getting hit on all sides. So I've got to give a shout out to Paula, because from the moment I contacted her about that baby at Blackshear Elementary, because she's got a little girl, and she wants to protect children. That's why she ran for the board. So it was historic, and there were just a lot of people working on that, because it's very, very, very important that we treat everyone equally.
Now, some bad news. The state has not done their full funding for people who cannot afford HIV drugs. And the state had a really tough year trying to fill all the requirements for social issues in the state, and they really failed.
The ADAP program,
they've really failed miserably. And of course, we know Garnett Coleman and some of the other reps within our area worked very, very hard to do this. And we've had reports from Daniel Williams, who was following, his wall-to-wall coverage of following what was going on there. So we have, we have some bad news, and that, mm-hmm. that's really terrible.
Yeah, it is terrible.
Yes, and I'm sorry that we've got so serious on this program, because we usually aren't, and we usually have a fun time after the parade.
But we better pay attention.
But
yes.
These are important issues.
Yes, because
these are very important issues.
And one of my recent criticisms of Pride is that it's turned out to be so much of a party. Now, the parade always was supposed to be a celebration, but Pride also helped or co-sponsor, help publicize some of the other groups that did things that were about where we came from,
mm-hmm.
and also other issues of dealing with people of different backgrounds within the community. There were other organizations that did that. The parade is great, no two ways about it, but we also have to remember where we came from as a community, because we could lose it if we don't continue to know
mm-hmm.
that. And we also have to know that there are so many organizations working on so many different things within this community, and tomorrow is the anniversary of our Freedom Day of Lawrence versus the State of Texas. And there's going to be an event at the community center, and I don't have the exact details of that, which is up at Mecca in the Heights.
Mm-hmm.
It's Old Sixth Ward.
On Kane.
On Kane. And I believe that's probably like 5 in the afternoon or something. But that's another thing that came out of Harris County, where the Supreme Court basically knocked down the sodomy laws around the entire country. And that's something we got to be proud of that happened here. But getting back to the fun.
may I tell you, I had a lot of fun last night. Jack was just talking about organizations in this movement. So I don't know if you know, but I went to their annual fundraiser last night for Gallo.
Oh,
you know
yes.
what Gallo is?
Mm-hmm.
The Gay and Lesbian Latino
yeah.
organization.
Yes.
I had a blast.
That was.
Yeah, we interviewed them last week.
I had a blast.
That's a ritzy affair, isn't it?
Yeah, we were dropping it like it was hot. Yeah.
Because they had
great bands.
They had several different bands playing
yes.
different kinds of music, and it's kind of a black tie affair.
Yeah, believe me, people were sequins out, and Lonnie was there, Lonnie Davis and Christina. It mm-hmm. was just great, and they provide. Various, and I'm certain you know this because they were here last week, they provide needs in this community.
Absolutely.
So that's really important. And it was nice to see, actually it was very diverse when they told me that it was a Latino organization.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be fooled, because this, it may have started as that, but I saw people of every ethnicity practically. I saw men, I saw women. It was just beautiful to see.
I'm glad that went over well.
Oh, yeah. And to go back to it, it was fun.
Yeah.
The parade was fun. The people that were enjoying themselves.
Yes.
That's what it's all about.
We can get 200,000 people in the Montrose, have a parade, and then leave. And, you know, alcohol is involved in some of it. But there's, like, nothing. No problems.
No apparent problem. You know, I heard a couple of ambulances, but that could have been caused by the heat.
Mm-hmm.
Well, some of them were in the parade. now Brian was a Grand Marshal this
yes.
year.
Yes,
and I read about him.
His
that
big old medal has been entertaining.
I'm trying
us.
Not to dangle my medal and hit the desk here, but I was the Grand Marshal, and it was more than I expected, and it was surreal to kind of go through there and kind of be the Grand Marshal and the focus. But I want to thank the community and the listeners of After Hours and Queer Voices. I think it's the highest honor that the community can bestow, and I know that the listeners out there supported me, and I appreciate that. And you know, I just hope that I represent the community and make everyone proud, because I love helping and volunteering in the community, and that's what I'm meant to do, and I love to be recognized for it. I appreciate it.
You did a
and,
great
and
job.
And what makes this special is that it's not just designated. This is an honor that the community votes on.
It's kind of like a campaign, because you have to be nominated, and then there's a list of finalists, and then the finalists go to an online vote. So you have to campaign, mm-hmm. and it's kind of... Mm-hmm. You have to have, like, campaign parties and get your friends to vote, so...
I know, certainly, when I got that honor after I left Pride, it was just incredible mm-hmm. to be out there and representing the community. As Pride has just been a wonderful thing in my life to be able to produce, and the fact that this parade has turned out so big, the night parade was, you remember the old days when we had it in the afternoon.
I do.
The death march.
And I was the Grand Marshal for the first nighttime parade.
1997.
Yes.
And we took 2 years of studying what the community wanted, and still some people didn't like the idea. But when we were able to do it, that first year that we put on that night parade, and the first 2 years the parade had to be smaller because of the way the ordinance were written. And Anise Parker worked on it so that after 2 years we were able to go back to our original route. But I remember that that first evening when it was starting to get dark out and all of a sudden the float started lighting up. It was just like, wow, this is it. And luckily nobody got hurt that year so that we would have to turn back. But it was just a great idea, and the community has accepted it so much. And it's now a tradition, and it is the largest Pride event in the Southwest.
Wow.
So there's been people talking about moving it downtown or moving it to other types of the year, but this has been a tradition here. And certainly when there was talk about moving it downtown, there were a lot of people in this community who are the old-time activists who were just totally against it because they're sure the tradition.
Yeah, you brought dinosaurs out of the closet
I think it needs to stay here. There's a parade in Third Ward that they moved downtown, and it fizzled, right? Because it just fizzled. So you need to keep it here.
Because the neighborhood is really a part of it.
And then the people can just come out, right? Mm-hmm. And then there's not the problems with parking and stuff. But, Jack, could you share with us? I met a gentleman today who walked with me. Keith told me that he was really good friends with Mickey Lee, and I was astounded to find out he was 65 years old.
When I first moved here I actually moved here the day Kathy Whitmire was elected. It was just sort of an accident. But one of the two people I first met in this community, one was Ray Hill, and we all know about Ray Hill.
Mm-hmm.
But the other person was Larry. He calls himself Bagneris in New Orleans, but it's Bonnerice.
Bonnerice, yes.
And Larry was that time was president of what was called the GPC, the Gay Political Caucus, and he also was the person who was putting together the parade. So in 1982 was my first year getting involved in this parade and KPFT and the caucus. And then from years on, I just sort of hung on to it. And Larry really wanted to make this thing, instead of a protest march, he wanted to make it a parade that we would celebrate. And I remember him telling the story that when the first parade permit was requested, there was a city council person, and I don't remember the name, that actually had a stamp with the middle finger out.
Mm.
And he stamped it on there. That Larry had to, and Ray Hill back then, had to sometimes call some of these city council people. Now, this is back when we didn't have districts. So it was all the good old boys that were down at council. And look where we are today, how it's changed. But that the good old boys, basically, they had to call them from phone booths at times because they wouldn't take calls or wouldn't allow them in their office, some of these council people. The early days that Larry, because Larry's from New Orleans, and he thought, this really should, try to one day reflect like a Mardi Gras parade. But in those days.
Because he's from New Orleans.
Yeah. But in the early days, the parade was on a Sunday afternoon, and basically the cops, the first year I understand, the parade was just on one side of the street.
Keith actually marched in the first GPC parade, he told me. And he said there was all this talk about people going to show up and protest. And then he said, like, a handful of people showed up. And so I was really excited to meet the person who decided to make it a celebration rather than a protest.
And he had always envisioned that sometime in the future we would do this night parade. And originally the cops wanted the parade on a Sunday afternoon early before the bars opened so we wouldn't all be drunk. That was the way people thought about that.
Oh, wow.
And slowly it evolved, and it was tough. I mean, especially in the early years of AIDS, of having this parade. And Jimmy, you certainly remember that.
I remember that. There were people who said, why are we spending money on these floats and things? Because when that money should be going to AIDS.
Right. And remember that one year we did encourage everybody not to build a float.
That's
and actually, we had this outline of what a float, where the float would be. It was sort of this square with rope over it. But slowly,
And then this was also, you know, one of the years right after the referendum where none of the politicians wanted to be in the parade.
That's right.
So we went through some tough times in this community, but slowly it built up. And the fact now that it has grown to be this humongous event that is probably the second largest parade in the city and probably the most fun. Certainly the art car parade's a lot of fun, too.
And Jack, may I interject? I actually heard that... Yes, there was a parade, but it wasn't until you got involved, like in the day to days, that it blew up. So I'm a
absolutely.
So that's what I heard.
Well,
so,
you and Carol.
And I'm really proud, or I was really proud to see that when Larry came back for this parade, since he was one of the beginning people, that he chose, I'm certain, to walk with my council office because you were in it. I'm certain of it. So thank you for that.
Well, and, you know, I can't take all the credit because one of the things we did in Pride, at least when I was there, is that we opened it up to the community. That we had meetings at a city building,
mm-hmm.
that they were public.
That's right.
That anybody who showed up for like two meetings in a row were part of the organization and they can vote on things. And by opening it up, it brought a lot of people in, and it brought a lot of diversity in. And one of the things, and this goes back to Larry, is he did not want to shut out any part of the community. Because remember, there was times they didn't want drag queens in. There was times they didn't want the leather community
mm-hmm.
in. Because that's where the cameras will focus. But, you know, over the years, the cameras that were out there basically realized we're this big community, and it's not just one part of it. Mm-hmm. And then the first mayor, you know, we were late on this, that the first mayor was Lee Brown to be in the parade.
Yes.
And then Bill White was the first mayor to walk in the parade.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, we now have Anise Parker, who, you know, this is her community that supports this parade. So it was a long struggle to do that, to get people from elected officials to be in the parade. And, you know, now some people say, oh, some of them, it's just boring, it's the same old thing. No, it's really, really important that we have our elected officials to be part of the parade.
You
because
bet.
That's, we're part of this community. And over the years, we've had additions like the firemen, the policemen, and then not too long ago, we had a gay-straight alliance in
yes.
high school.
Yes.
And and then I'll never forget that my most favorite thing was the Strangerettes from Dallas. the men that dressed up like cheerleaders.
Yes,
and they gave
the
that
drag,
march. And it was
yes.
just... just absolutely. And one year when there was one of the gay cable channels was on, we had the parade broadcast live throughout mm-hmm. the nation. And they were just ecstatic because we did this night parade. You know, but I do got to mention there are four people that actually, actually three other people but me who originally started talking about the night parade. I mean, Larry mentioned it, but it was, and this is the interesting thing, it was Rainbow DeClown.
Oh, yeah.
It was Brandon Wolf.
Mm-hmm.
And who am I missing? Lee Harrington.
Yes.
Lee Harrington.
Oh, my goodness.
And this is real interesting because all of us who know Lee Harrington used to call like 10 to midnight. Of course, you're up at that time, but most of us are sleeping. He would call up and leave like a 10-minute message. You got to do this. You got to do this. You got to do this. And of course, he never had time to do anything, but we were supposed to do it. But when the four of us started meeting and talking about the logistics of the parade, Lee Harrington actually started doing the work and the research on it. And this was really before the internet was that big, that he contacted the people in Sydney, Australia, who did a night parade mm-hmm. of how to do this. And then once that started, you know, moving forward, then we opened it up to the community to talk about it, to vote about it. And we had stakeholder meetings of the organizations and the businesses. And not everybody was sold on it until after it was successful.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that I got to really thank Lee Harrington for, and I jokingly call him Crazy Lee Harrington, but Lee Harrington, after we started doing the night parade, also knew that we needed to have a centerpiece. And Lee Harrington sort of worked sort of on the side, not officially with the Pride Committee, but he always let me know what he was doing. But he wanted to have this 8-foot disco ball. And he got the plans, and he found this redneck guy who constructed it, who just like after he started working on it and realized what it was going to be, he was just totally into it. And then
Lee Harrington said, okay, this is what I want to do, but of course we didn't have the money to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But Lee Harrington started calling the advertisers, the advertising agencies, and that was the year that Mattress Mac gave us the money to do that.
Yes.
And so we had this 8.5-foot disco ball with light shining at it at the corner of Montrose and Westheimer, and it was just so neat when you saw, and I believe it was Mary Benton who was doing a live feed to Channel 2 and probably some of the other reporters in front of the reviewing stand, and there she's doing that live feed, and the lights are coming over like...
Oh, it was incredible.
Yes, yes, yes. And unfortunately, the organization cannot afford to do that centerpiece right now. But hopefully in the future they'll be able to come back to it, because it was really sort of a signature piece of you know, mm-hmm. doing everything else.
Well, after a year or two, it became more pear-shaped.
It kind of, yeah. Yes.
Well, and then we did the chandelier for a couple
yes,
of years.
Yes, then we had
too.
The chandelier.
So hopefully, you know, because people don't realize how much money it takes to put this parade on. And but I also have to thank, and this is not just because I work for the city. I used to say this even before I worked for the city. The reality was is that we tried to do everything we needed to do and run the parade right, but the city has always been a good partner with us in providing the police and providing the, you know, we pay for the permit, of course, but they worked with us in getting the no parking signs up and closing off the streets and putting
this
the barricades. Yes. Putting the barricades. This is even before Susan did this. It was Tony Robinson back then. And being able to work with everybody to do that. And because remember, in the early days, the police didn't want us to have a parade.
That's right.
And they were not always on our side. And they were, you know, they had that redneck, you know, attitude.
Oh, yeah.
But that, and remember, GLBT people could not be police officers, because when 2106 was enforceable on the books, they used to have that questionnaire, you know, do you break the law, on their application. So gay people by definition broke the law.
That were criminals by definition.
Right, right. And we also remember, you know, Ray Hill used to talk about it, the police used to have these fag files of pictures taken when they raided the bars.
Mm-hmm.
They used to just take these pictures and we'd be in these files down there. And certainly we've come a long way, but we cannot, you know, just like any
we cannot sit on our laurels.
We cannot, yes, we have to continue on, because the struggle continues on. The next generation needs to take that over and move forward on this. And we need our allies. And our allies will be with us, because we have to work with them in their issues.
Yeah. That's how it works, isn't it?
So may I check out? I normally sleep at this time. I am doing all I can do to keep my eyes open.
Well, Jack, too.
I am so thankful that you guys invited me.
I've got to go
sleep. I that parade wore me out.
Do you want us to sing you a lullaby?
Yeah, Jennifer, can you sing?
I'll do it off air.
Oh, okay.
Oh, and we all thank you for that.
You had a really great event. I enjoyed reading about you and outsmart. And
thank you.
Anyway, you don't ever have to worry about me not coming to the Pride Parade. I will always come to the Pride Parade, because if it's not the best parade in this city, it's one of the best parades in this city, year in and year out, in my opinion.
Thank you so much for being on After Hours.
Oh,
thank
absolutely.
You,
and I'm about to go sleep.
Okay.
Good night, everyone.
Good night. So, Brian.
Yes,
Brian,
sir.
Tell us more.
What would you like to...
Well, you know, I don't know if anybody told you the costume.
Why don't y'all rotate mics
and
so everyone has
I forgot
own.
To okay. tell you.
We're going to rotate
we're going
to do the mic rotation.
Yeah.
So
I
everyone
forgot
has
to tell
their,
you
we had
the Mary's
share
custom.
A moment ago.
The Mary's custom.
What's the Mary's custom?
It's handed down from male... supposed to be handed down from male Grand Marshal to
I'm
male
getting
Grand
nervous.
Marshal.
Yes.
And that when your car gets to Mary's, you stop, you stand up, and you bow.
Oh, I did not know that.
See, I didn't get to you.
Where were you standing in the parade? Where?
I was on the KPFT.
On the KPFT float.
And we stopped, and I've done it every... Since I did it as a Grand Marshal, and I've done it every year since.
I'm afraid we're losing that tradition, because it feels like Mary's and the traditions of Mary's are kind of going away,
well,
unfortunately.
Along with Mary?
The history, yeah. Luckily, I did see the mural that they repainted.
Absolutely. That and the new owner is very history-oriented.
Well,
and he's anxious to keep some sort of memory of Mary's there.
I've heard that they're going to try to preserve the back where people's ashes were scattered back in the day.
Well, he is going to excavate that because it will be a parking lot.
Hmm. But they're going to keep the building.
They're going to keep the building. The city has already...
Permitted?
No. Where you have to tear it down.
Demolition.
Yeah. The two-story building.
In the back.
Yeah. But he is keeping Fanny's tree. You know, the big mound?
Right.
Yes. That much we know so far.
I just hope that, you know, they keep the building. I don't know what they're going to do with it, though. I mean, is it going to be a restaurant?
He doesn't know either.
Yeah.
Yet.
Well, start with the belief that it needs to stay.
Yeah, yes.
And that it's important that it stay because it's of its historical nature to the GLBT community.
Well, Judy Reeves
And then we'll figure out something from there.
Judy Reeves from GCAM has been talking to him and putting words in his ears about what
that
would,
little whisper.
What would be nice there.
Speaking of Judy Reeves, did you get a chance to go to the festival today and go to the history tent?
Yes. Judy and I specifically wanted to do that because we have been participants. GCAM has been a participant in that in years past, but we decided against it this year. And that's because we could not get a guarantee of air conditioning in that tent 5 days ago.
Yeah.
And...
Oh, yes.
So, you know, at GCAM, the Gulf Coast Archive and Museum, people give us their stuff and they
delicate
trust it to us.
Historical
yes.
documents.
That's
yeah.
right. And that kind of weather.
You can't take that risk.
No.
Because that's our history, those documents.
Exactly.
There was a makeshift air conditioner there, too.
There was.
It was like a fan blowing or something.
Yeah, it was coolish.
Yeah, but not. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
The one thing this year, I think it was less humid because it wasn't. Ungodly, just drenching during the day. It felt a little drier out there today.
I thought it was horrible.
We're just getting old, damn it.
Yeah, maybe
like
that's it.
Well, Jimmy, that's because this is the first time that you were actually out there as early as you are. Normally, you work the festival, you go home, shower, cool down, arrive 15 minutes before we get ready to pull out in the floats with a feather boa going, here I am, where do I sit? And your happy ass was out there at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yes,
with no boa.
And on that note, in the years that I did Pride, and I'm sure they're still doing it now, those people who volunteer to put Pride together, those people who do the boots, those people who are in the parade, get there, you know, probably starting, you know, some of the people are out there as early as 7 o'clock in the morning.
Yes.
And, you know, one of the things that we used to do before the festival was part of it is at noon, the day of the parade, we would take all the volunteers and we would bring them together and have a lunch. And we used to call it the Last Supper. And the reason for the Last Supper was we would also, besides feeding them and give the last minute directions, we'd also sort of do an evangelistic type of thing in that we would bring somebody in like Larry Bonnerice or Ray Hill or Anise Parker or Phyllis Fry to sort of pump everybody up for why we do this. And we do this because of the people that in the 60s had to fight everything that we don't have to fight as much. And for all the people that we lost over the past many years because of HIV and or violence, that this is our community coming together. And believe me, I was honored all those years to be able to have that responsibility
as the executive director or the chair of the board or whatever I was called or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I was also incredibly lucky to have some wonderful, wonderful people. I mean, I can't tell you how much my friend Lynn Sixkiller, who was part of the parade.
Yes, she was the backbone.
Or Troy Christensen, and I know there's just so many other people, you know. Nick Brines, who got on the board and
really
sort of
did.
Got us together to be able to get the corporate sponsorship money.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like I said, it takes tons of money. I mean, our budget was, I know this may sound strange, but it was like $250,000. I don't know what it is now.
I think it's almost double that.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not quite sure it's that high now because but I won't get into that. But the reality is of getting the insurance, because you have to have insurance, of doing the stuff that Pride did. We used to have a float. We don't have the float anymore. But all the things that needed to be done to put the things on the festival and stuff and hire some security.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the police do a lot of things, but you have to hire security or get volunteers. The night before, we would have, 24-hour security because some of the stuff was already set up. The office, the infrastructure to put that up there, the internet, the taking payments, all that stuff. I know that sounds boring, but it's all part of
it. It's all part of it. That's it.
And to be able to have the meetings that we have every year. And it was just really, really important that you thank the people that have been involved and are the volunteers.
Well, this one thing that you've said many times.
Hold on. We have to step out there. We
have to break
in. We've got to do our PSAs and top of the hour stuff. We'll be back in just a moment with After Hours.
Hi, you've reached the Johnsons. We're not available to take your call. If you're calling about the apartment for rent, please leave your name and number after the beep, and someone will get back to you.
Hi, my name is Sanjay Rana. I would like to make an appointment to see the apartment.
Oh, hi, this is Robin DiPaola, and I'm calling about your apartment. Please give me a call back at 2.
Hi, hello. This is Rafael Paredes. Please call me back at 718.
This is Jeannie Chu. I'd like to talk to you about the apartment. If you can, please call me back.
Hello, my name is Clayton Anderson. I'm calling about the ad in the Sunday paper.
Oh, hello. This is Mrs. Johnson. You must be calling about the apartment.
I am. Is it still available?
Well, you're the first person to call about it. Are you available?
Housing discrimination of all kinds is illegal in the U.S. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org. Fair housing. It's not an option. It's the law. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
Of a meteoric music career that spanned the turbulent decades of the 60s and 70s, Phil Oakes saw the bright lights of fame and social justice in equal measure, a contradiction that eventually tore him apart. The Houston premiere of the film, Phil Oakes, There But For Fortune, traces the arc of Oakes' life, which paralleled that of the times. How the anger, satire, and righteous indignation that drove his music also drove him to dark despair. The documentary features interview and performance footage of Oakes, along with commentary by Joan Baez, Pete Seeger, Sean Penn, and others. Phil Oakes, There But For Fortune will screen at the Brown Auditorium Theater at the Museum of Fine Arts Houston, June 30th to July 4th. More information at www.mfah.org/films or call 713-639-7515 or visit us on Facebook under Films at the Museum of Fine Arts Houston.
And you're listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, 89.7 Huntsville, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org, now broadcasting in high-definition radio.
As usual, you pull it off in one breath.
Well, I'm used to pulling it off. Also, you can find KPFT and After Hours both on Facebook. Join up with us. I think we're at like 393 in the number of friends.
Something like that.
And remember, drop Jimmy if you're a friend and join up.
For a long time, I had more friends than the show did.
Oh, really? Both of them.
I don't know.
So we are back with our After Pride special.
We've yes.
Got our friends from
Rainbow.
Queer Voices.
You know, Rainbow was here earlier. And you know,
I know.
He well,
I don't know if you... I need to tell a story about Rainbow. You know, Rainbow was part of the parade for many, many years. And one year he decided... And he always used to do the strangest thing, which always made us laugh. And one year he decided to be on stilts. And apparently he practices it out at his trailer park with the kids out there watching him. And so then he got into the parade, and all of a sudden his thing was like the slowest moving thing, and it backed up the parade. So we punished him. We punished him by putting him in the back of the parade.
Mm-hmm.
But then he sort of just ran with it.
Oh, yes. It became
like
his
thing. It was like the Santa Claus in the Macy's Day Parade at the end of the parade. And he would always do something outrageous, and it was just great. And then for every year after that, until he couldn't do it anymore, he was the last automatically.
Yes.
You know, and how we used to line up the parade was as the applications came in, we pretty much, that's the parade route, so it was fair to everybody. Because everybody wanted to be up first, but Rainbow we always put at the end. And I used to make, that's right, somebody said, who is 666? Well, we used to number the parade, but, you know, as we were having that first meeting, we didn't have the entire route there, but we always used to name Rainbow 666.
Mark of the Beast?
Oh, yes, absolutely, because, he was the irritating pebble in your shoe.
Yes. Well, yes and no. Yes, he was an irritating.
But he had really good ideas.
He had good ideas, and he loved the parade. Rainbow loved the parade.
Oh, yeah.
And that was so neat. And we had so many of these different instances. There was these two guys that used to come in like at the last couple days before the parade. And all they wanted to do was hand out like about 24 bottles of water. And all they asked for were like volunteer T-shirts. And it's like, at first, like, wait a minute, you're not true volunteer. But then you realize... this was what their contribution was.
Yes.
And we gave them the T-shirts, and they were so happy. That's how all of this stuff built up in pride. You got to remember that in the early days of this parade and the GPC and all this type of stuff, we didn't even know the real names of a lot of people because they weren't out.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't be out. Yet they wanted to contribute to the community. And this is a story I remember. We're talking about Larry Bonnerese. Larry Bonnerese, and this is before we all had home computers and laser printers and color printers and stuff like that. He went out and spent a lot of money with the GPC logo and the red dot in the middle and had the names of the board of directors printed on the side of the stationery. He spent a lot of money doing this, and he presents it to the board meeting, and half the people there at that board meeting said, I cannot have my name out in public.
Ugh.
And that's where we started from.
Yes, I know.
And, you know, the other interesting thing is we used to take anybody who would show up who said they would do anything. And I remember, was it Bill Augusta was his name, that he was at the caucus one
year? Oh, yes.
And, you know, Bill was like this really smart, sort of like strange person. And he once volunteered to be the treasurer at the caucus, and he didn't even know how to balance a checking book. So, but you took these people because they were doing that, but as pride moved along, we'd sometimes have these people volunteer who learned how to do it as a volunteer, learned how to do graphics, learned how to do desktop publishing, learned how to put a parade. I mean, Lynn Sixkiller was a perfect example. When she joined us that one year, she was so shy, and she wasn't really out, and she says, what can I do? And our whole events thing was a mess, and I just said, here's a list, go take it, call these people, do it, and she did it. And then as time moved on, she was like my right-hand person. She had all these... On the morning of Pride, she would have this spreadsheet with times of when the porta potties were coming, when this was coming, all this stuff was just like when the golf carts.
Mm-hmm.
All this stuff was like, I mean, people used to give me credit for it. She did a lot of this work. And she loved it. She absolutely loved it. And all these people, and I know I'm sort of going behind the scenes, but the behind the scenes is what made this thing hit so well. And it just put this whole thing together. And what we used to do after the parade, I mean, there was a couple times I called you on the phone to do this sort of after Pride group. It's because we would all get together at the Pride office and just talk about how the day went, because everybody was so excited and just wanted to, this didn't go. And then like 2 weeks later, we were already thinking about the following year, and we would have this meeting where everybody would sit around and say, this worked, this didn't, without anybody feeling like they were, you know, being criticized. Mm-hmm. It was like, okay, what worked, what didn't work, what didn't. And then we would have a public meeting of people talking about it. So that's how
Pride grew. It was because it was an open organization. We had people who were enthusiastic at it, and you know, lots of people moved on because they had, you know, things went different from them. But we had a core group that used to come back year after year, and that's how a lot of organizations in this community.
Yes, absolutely. And of course, if you volunteered with the Pride Committee, you were probably also volunteering with the GPC or some other organization.
Right.
I mean, everybody knew everybody almost.
Right. Well, and back, you know, in those years, and you remember this, we pretty much, you know, it's like we used to joke, there was five people activists in the community, and we all wore different hats.
I can remember nights when you would bring up envelopes
yes.
to after hours
yes.
because we had a crew
volunteers,
here
right.
and had them stuff the envelopes.
Yes, yes, to do the bulk mailing
yes.
and stuff like
yes.
that. And, you know, it's before the internet. But now this new generation's taking over, and I know, you know, they're not going to do things exactly the way we want to do it, but hopefully they will continue on and make the thing, you know, make all these organizations grow.
I certainly hope so.
And
you know, things have to evolve because you stay the same and you die. So
right on. I totally agree.
Right on.
I may not like the way things are evolving so much, but
evolve or die.
Yeah.
There's been many organizations that have been here that did not evolve and have gone away.
And gone away.
Yeah,
yes.
This Camp America was a great example.
Garden Party.
There's a Garden
whole, there's a whole list.
Yes, the Chamber.
Yes.
So many of those organizations that came up and they
because they didn't get it.
Right.
There used to be the Nelly Ribbons Party that was part of Pride.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's gone away.
And, you know, they just sort of did it on their own. And all those years I was doing Pride, it's just like we were just so busy doing that. And I'm going to bring up something else. I mean, in those early days of Pride, we were like sweating to get this parade done and trying to figure out the logistics and stuff. And then you had HRC going around taking all these signatures and addresses of people. And then they would then, raise money on that list. And here, we didn't have the opportunity to do that because we were so busy that it was really sort of an encroachment. I mean, we spent the money to put on the parade and the volunteers and stuff, and then they were harvesting signatures.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
that has changed a bit, but that's still a concern.
Sure.
So we move on, and I'm grateful that we still have a parade, that it's still, you know, pretty big.
Oh, it's fabulous.
That we have some of these incredible floats and people in there, and maybe it's good some of these younger people don't know the struggles we went to so that they're not, you know, hampered by what we had to go through.
Mm-hmm.
So I know I'm talking both ways, but hopefully that's where we move on. I mean, of all the people I spoke to today, speaking to the Hatch people was just like, you know,
yes.
incredible.
And are they more gay than we were? They just
seem really interesting, because they can be.
And I'm like, oh, girl.
At the festival, I saw an awful lot of straight couples there.
I did, too.
And I'm thinking, you know, is this bad or good? And maybe it's good that they feel comfortable enough coming into our community and not worrying about it being there with their friends that may be GLBT.
Well, the parade is certainly family-oriented.
Yes. Well, yes. And that's how we sort of did the parade.
Yeah.
Without trying to, you know, censor any of those organizations, but still trying to keep it, you know, legal and open to the public and have the families be there. And have the kids be there. I mean, you know, it's like Shell was there, and there were some young kids there and some other groups. So we don't do it the way some of the other cities do, but hopefully it's something that works here in Houston.
You know, and
absolutely.
The parade makes me very proud to be a Houstonian. I love our community, and this is what I love about our city is we come together, we're diverse, and we, you know, let your flag fly, your free flag.
Amen.
You know, and to me, Pride is first and foremost a history lesson for the new generation that wasn't there for the struggle, to be reminded of the struggle we still have, and, you know, of Stonewall and why we have Pride in June. Everyone who asks me, why do we have Pride in Houston in June, I say, well, it's, you know.
Yeah, because it's so hot. Why don't we do it another time?
It's the GLBT 4th of July.
The incredible thing is
our independence day.
You know, not only did Stonewall happen, but that Stonewall happened, and then the year after that, there was like three or four cities
and I believe it was New York, San Francisco, Chicago,
mm-hmm.
L.A.,
mm-hmm.
had the commemoration.
Yes.
It was, yeah, 19.
From that, it then started to grow and grow and grow, and there are Pride celebrations all around the world. If you go to innerpride.org, you can see that. There are, I think there's upwards of a couple million people that end up either marching or being in the parade around the world at different times.
Yes.
Sydney, Australia, it's the largest event in Australia. And they have it as a gay, they call it the Gay Mardi Gras. And I didn't get to watch the whole thing, but there was, I think it was on Showtime, they had a documentary.
I saw that, yeah.
And I think it's the politics of pride.
Yeah. And they followed a guy around the world in cities that didn't have as established of a parade and gay pride.
Mm-hmm. And some had like incredible Russia. Things like Rio or Brazil.
Yeah, Rio de Janeiro.
But absolutely, when he went to Moscow. And how they had secretly... I mean, that
they had to go behind closed doors, have cars, drop them off, and get to another car.
And they basically had to do mm-hmm. diversionary thing that they thought pride was going to be, and they did it somewhere else, and it was like a 32nd March.
And they were so proud just to stand there with their rainbow flags in the street and just not be attacked.
Yeah, the guy who did that is the executive director of Vancouver Pride.
Yeah.
And so he showed going to these different cities.
It gave a spectrum of like the best and the greatest and the gayest to the most, you know, in the closet.
The saddest.
Saddest.
Yeah.
Pride. Air quote pride celebration.
I know when I used to go to the Inner Pride conventions, we would sit there and listen to what, you know, San Francisco's parade used to be 6 hours, and I think they shortened it to 4 hours.
I certainly hope so.
And they have these incredible entries in there that do just crazy things, and that's wonderful and that's great. And, you know, Houston was sort of catching up to what they do by having this, you know, unique nighttime parade. And Los Angeles had this incredibly professional thing. And Boston was more or less still a demonstration, a march, and that's fine. And there are cities that have dyke marches beyond
mm-hmm.
what they do.
Mm-hmm.
There are some cities that also have Black Pride or Hispanic Pride.
We have Black Pride.
And the most important thing is that we continue on doing this. And that, but being at those conventions, when you get somebody who would stand up and say, we had 50 people show up for a picnic and I don't remember some of the smaller towns across the country.
Boise, you know.
Actually, I think Boise was a little bit bigger, but, you know, Topeka. Topeka, I think I remember, or Wichita, I think it was Wichita, that even though they got the permit, the mayor basically rescinded it. And they had a banner district like, well, I guess we're not doing the banner district now anymore.
What happened to that?
Don't think they had the money to do it, but Pride Houston got the banner district along Lower Westheimer and used to put up the rainbow flags.
Yeah,
I love that.
I love that.
But they actually did this in that city in Oklahoma, and they were torn down.
I'm sure they were.
The city tore them down.
Oh, no.
Even though they had the right to do that because they had that. So as far as we come in Houston, and I think we've come a long way, there are cities out there, so we not only do this for ourselves in Houston, we set the example. And, you know, we never think of Houston as a tourist city, but there was a few years ago that we actually took an unscientific survey, and we found out that about 30% of the people who are at the parade are from outside the metropolitan area, which is absolutely incredible that people will come in from, you know, Bryan College Station.
Wow.
They'll come in from Corpus, or they'll come in from Dallas. And mostly it's people that can drive within the day type of thing. But yes, it's like, who comes to Houston in the summer? You know, what type of tourists come to Houston?
Well, I think we're becoming a regional draw for the smaller towns that are nearby. I think people come from Dallas and New Orleans and...
Yeah,
for the weekend, and they're trying to make it a week-long event, and I think they did a good job this year of expanding it and having it more than just a parade.
Well, and I will give some criticism to that.
It used to be a whole month.
They have the festival, but not only that is that, you know, if you look at the events that Pride actually sponsors, they're mostly either the Pride Idol, they're fundraisers, or their parties. But where is the educational mm-hmm. versus diversity? Where is that? You know, where is everything else that we need to, the cultural things, the diversity, the health issues,
the religious things.
Yes. So that all needs to be part of Pride so that we have this festival. And one of my criticisms of My Gay Houston is that when you look at their sites, they will maybe have one event that's GLBT related, but the rest of the stuff is like shopping in the Galleria.
Yeah, it's all like, relatively
not really,
strict stuff.
You know, yeah. Why GLBT people want to come to Houston. I mean, that's a bonus or part of it, but really it should be like the yearly Easter parties that we have, the bunny party, the stuff that happens, the gay men's course of things. So that's my two cents on that.
Well, I'm sure Chris would call that my Gay Houston Light.
I don't criticize those type of things.
Hardly ever.
Wes right.
I think he's afraid of lightning striking.
As well he should be.
I can understand that. There's a lot of, you know, I think it's nice, you know, I've seen recently where there is sites like that where the Visitors Bureau has a section talking about our events. Because, I mean, we are becoming more and more out and visible in the community, even though the latest polls are putting Seattle isn't more open than us.
Mm. Boo.
Boo, Seattle.
Well, they are open there.
Yeah, but rain is up there all the time. How many lesbian mayors do they have, I ask?
No, but, I mean, it's interesting seeing how our community is growing. One of the things we're going to be talking later on in the show is I'm playing a news report from 1973 that... it was national news about a tragedy in the gay community, and I want to play it for people to see how far we've come.
Yeah. Yet we're still having the bashings.
Yeah, that we still
have. There was somebody with the baseball bat a week or two ago
In front of F Bar.
And you know, some abuses by certain police officers who, you know, still Neanderthal.
But when we talk about our community evolving, I think, you know, there's been talk about the community not supporting the gay bars. And I think what you see among young people is that they're going to mixed bars.
They're going to straight bars and it's just blending.
Yeah.
And they feel comfortable enough to do that with their partner or their boyfriend or girlfriend.
Exactly.
And to go with their friends.
Mm-hmm.
And that's wonderful that can happen because, you know, we always wanted to go beyond Montrose, that people can
feel
comfortable. And that we are, you know, and I actually looked at Outsmart's bar guide last month and thought, and looked at it and said, all these bars that are outside the Montrose area, which is fabulous because we need that diversity.
Yes, we do.
We do live out,
competition.
You know.
Because we live everywhere now.
When I used to manage the caucus's mailing list and you actually looked at how many people are in the Montrose area, we probably only made up 20% of Montrose. But you look at that list and we cover the, you know, every zip code in the city.
Yeah.
That we have people out there. Of course, the caucus list was also progressive voters. So, and there's no way that we could do this all alone. We need our allies and we need to coalesce with these other groups to be able to move forward. And it's like the same thing. The only way we're going to get non-discrimination ordinance in this city is to work with other groups and, you know, let them know that that they should be supporting this because it's the right thing to do. It's like the gay marriage that just passed in New York State. I mean, isn't that incredible? They actually had some Republicans. They needed some to go over that, and the governor signed that like immediately. So, congratulations to New York.
So, what does that mean to us now that we have another state that has passed marriage equality?
Well, I think it's going to be easier for California. Because their Prop 8 thing is going through the courts right now, isn't
right.
it?
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a lot easier to overturn Prop 8.
But what does that mean to us? We don't even have non-discrimination in this.
No, we don't. But this is Texas.
This is Texas.
And what it's probably going to help with the fact is that this is the first time that a state has given marriage equality from the legislature.
Yes.
This
yes.
is not coming
yes.
from the bench.
Right.
So that when the argument comes that someone who goes and gets a New York marriage license comes back here to Texas, and sadly the way it's going to work is they come back here to divorce, or one person gets ill and the partner, their now spouse, tries to intervene on the stuff and is told you have no standing here.
You're like, no.
Then the fact that because this is a legislative act that's going through there, it might be easier to argue the full faith and credit clause. Now, I'm not a legal scholar, but this is how I see it is that...
Right, as opposed to many of the other states that happen through the court system.
Mm-hmm.
But I still argue that we need the non-discrimination ordinance first for job, for employment.
We do.
For housing, so that, you know, you could, you know, rent a place and not be discriminated because your job.
Well, that's what gets me is at the top of the hour here. We played the PSAs. Sometimes it keeps getting into our rotation here. I play that housing cart, and it has someone who's calling in for an ad, answering an ad for an apartment, and you hear all these ethnic voices of, you know, trying to ask for it, and the person just keeps deleting the message until finally a white guy calls up, you know, Mr. Clayton Anderson, wanting to know if the apartment's for rent. And it's like, I just want to scream at the end of it, well, but what if he's a fag? You can at least tell him he can't have the apartment.
Yeah, really.
Well, what do you think, listeners and Jack, about pushing the non-discrimination clause now? Is this a good time politically in our city?
It's up to the mayor to put it on the agenda.
Well, if the mayor is elected for a second term, knock on wood, when she gets elected, do you think we could...
She has made no commitments to do that.
She is conservative.
You know, that was one of the questions I asked after the caucus endorsed her for the second term, if any commitment was made for any non-discrimination legislation coming from the mayor's office, and they said no.
Hmm. And I had heard that in the later terms that she would be more open to that. That she's not trying to be the gay mayor, but a good mayor in the first term, but in later terms she can kind of help us.
So you're saying she's going to be one of those the legacy building type politicians where, you know, get through what they can on the first term around, and then when they're about ready to be shown the door from term limits or that, that's when they start working on their legacy.
Anise needs to prove in her first term that she's a great mayor who happens to be gay, not the gay mayor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And in later terms, she can do more stuff for our community. You know, she can't. The days of being an activist for Anise are gone. She has to be a mayor, and she has to be an outstanding mayor. And
true. It's almost like, she's not ours anymore.
Well, she has to represent all Houstonians.
Right.
Right. You know, our community, maybe 250,000 out of 2.2 million.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that's a large segment of the population that she has to represent also.
Sure.
And so I think an even-handed leadership has been appropriate. But I also believe that the time is right for a non-discrimination ordinance.
And does it have to come from the mayor? Can it come from the citizens? Can we be pushing and kind of...
You can ask for a referendum.
Hmm. I mean, I think...
Ooh, that word just...
No, it's very frightening for the GLBT community.
But the new generation is not aware of the referendum back in the 80s. I mean, it's a new day.
I know they're not, but...
It's a new day, I think.
We were right out there, out front. We were national news. And that referendum hit, and we were in the toilet.
Well, it set back a lot of the movement for a number of years.
I think I argue that the time is time. It's time to come back to that.
In conversations with many of the statisticians, the polling people here in the Houston, I won't mention any names at this time, who have said that if there was a referendum today, that it would probably pass.
What are we afraid of?
I don't know. I'm not afraid of anything.
No, I think we're collectively afraid of losing and mm-hmm. being set back again. And
yeah.
I think that fear is overshadowing the whole issue.
What do you think,
Jack? But you can't go forward if you're in fear.
Is my understanding that there's a certain council person that does not want that.
But she's term limited out.
He or she, whoever that may be,
did I hear tap dancing?
Oh. I'm just saying that, you know, why does it have to be, I mean, can we push it as population, as a society, as a community? I think the time is now. I mean, we're showing polls around the nation, around the state that, you know, is more beneficial to us. And I think the language of the old referendum is archaic, and I think it's a new day.
What do you think, Jimmy?
I could be as positive as you on that. I just can't. And maybe it's because of the sting of the last one.
But we didn't have Facebook back then.
That's true. And that has changed the face of everything.
You could make it an app.
Yes.
Non-discrimination app.
It's plain. It's ridiculous that we do not have that as a city, and it needs to change.
As big as we are.
As big as we are, yeah. It's ridiculous. And I would love to start a movement to get it enacted.
And I think you're just the man to do it.
All
it'll
in favor?
It'll be on Facebook tomorrow.
Yes. Nondiscriminationforhouston.com. It's sad, and it's, you know, it's embarrassing that our city doesn't have that.
What are you looking at me for?
Huh?
What are you looking at me for?
I wanted you to add.
I don't have a dog in this fight. I don't live in Houston.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
I live just outside the city limits.
Well, how about the county non-discrimination?
We start with the city, and then we go from there.
Yeah. My activism hasn't been on the political side since being a part of this community. I started off with the radio show and with safety, with Q Patrol.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's one of those things I've always looked at it like, well, why worry about that when we've got this other thing we can worry about? And, I wonder sometimes, it's going to be the same argument with marriage. It's like, what good's a piece of paper?
It's a step.
It's a huge step.
Yeah.
To get to that point. And this has to happen first.
To legitimize ourselves as people.
To become not a second-class citizen.
Yes, exactly.
And without a non-discrimination ordinance or a law that protects us, then we are still outside. Yeah. You know? We're not legitimate. There's, you know?
We can be fired.
That's right.
Tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for God's sake, don't be a T.
Yeah.
I kind of made a point of that with this past Wednesday. I went to the doubleheader soccer game up at Reliant Stadium. Mm-hmm.
The Gold Cup?
Gold Cup. Mm-hmm. And I stood for the national anthem, but my hands were folded at my lap.
You're an atheist.
I don't have those rights. And if someone had asked me, I'd say, well, I'm a second-class citizen, so I'm not going to.
Mm.
But the other thing I did is I remained standing for the Panamanian, and when the second game came up, Honduras, Mexico, I stood in respect of theirs as well.
Well, that's a nice thing to do.
My Tea Party father sat on his ass, but hey. he also was going to be stupid enough and root for Honduras in front of around all those Mexican fans. It's like, I'm not with him when you go to Cuba.
I remember being at a Super Bowl with Dallas and Denver. And my only two tickets were in the middle of the Denver section.
Ooh.
Ooh. And in this particular Super Bowl, Denver was just beating up the Cowboys that first half.
Ooh.
It was unmerciful. Unmerciful. And then in the second half, Dallas just ripped it and tore Denver up. And so my brother-in-law and I were up in the stands in this Denver section. And mm-hmm. We had turned it around. Two of us acted like a whole section.
Oh, Jack, you look bleary-eyed.
Yes, I think I've sort of lost all my energy. You know,
I'm fading fast.
It's certainly, you know, my day wasn't certainly as tough as it used to be when I used to start at like 7, 8 o'clock in the morning and then go through it. But it's still a long day, but it was certainly a fabulous day.
I was
glad to be out there. Glad
I am so glad that you guys came.
Well, thank you for inviting us and
everything else. I mean,
thank you so much.
Just sitting around talking.
Absolutely,
I like that.
Invite us back. We'll do it. Anytime.
Okay.
I keep teasing about the idea. One of these times, we want to switch shows.
Oh, I don't know if you can handle.
Oh, I don't.
Only problem is we switch.
We could never, never, never get the time right.
Because we're never. Like down to the minute. We have all these rules.
No.
And
there's no way.
Does that mean that we would come on and we would
you
talk?
You would do after.
You would just go
we
on.
Would do after
you would
hours.
Do after hours. We wouldn't even
and
be
y'all
here.
Would have to do all the interviews.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
watch that clock. that's not. I didn't learn that way.
But I mean, the thing is this: it scares us seeing the station, the station in the studio during daylight hours, Wes actually, when he came up here with the truck to set up for a parade, he drove past the studio because he didn't know what it looked like in daylight.
Because it just, that's,
you know,
looked the same.
There was a famous, I can believe that, Night Court episode where they actually worked during the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was, I mean, exactly how you're describing this, that everything was different.
Roz was a happy, cheery person, I remember.
Right, right. Yeah. And the cafeteria was called the Blue Room or something. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just exactly what you were, you know.
Yeah, I don't know if we could be that, because we've always said, we're, you know, you guys are the nightline of queer radio on here, and we've changed it from saying we were David Letterman to more Jon Stewart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I like that. Even Usher,
Stephen Colbert.
Yeah, that's actually more like it.
Yeah,
for,
I like Countdown.
For a lot of our segments.
Yeah, we have a lot of snarkiness.
I love it. I love it, yeah.
Well, allegedly we're snarky.
For the opportunity to talk about Pride going on in the community.
I want you to do it every year.
And, you know, I am so proud that the HISD vote, and I can't tell you, because I'm still on a high over that, and I had nothing to do with it. But Jennifer worked on it, and, you know, Chris Bugsby worked on it. And that it took time to do it, but it is done. And it's the first time that here in our area of the world that a legislative body has voted on non-discrimination, and it was done, you know, 7-0. Just amazing.
Well, I want people to remember, as they heard this tonight, that you did that for this community. Jennifer Renee Poole.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
It was a labor of love.
You've worked on it for years.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's, and to go back to what Jack was saying, it was fully inclusive. And inclusive not just in adding gender identity, but gender identity and or expression.
That's so important.
Yes. Which covers the less than masculine male or the little overly masculine female.
Right. At the end of the, as I was at the end of the parade, in Julie Chappette, how do you pronounce it? I always have that.
I do too.
Chappette. Our
Juliette Stepetch.
Stepetch. You know, the person who won by like 45 votes in
the runoff. She is my HISD board.
And she represents this part of town. And she was coming off there, and she's giving me this big hug, and we're like jumping up and down, you know, because I mean, we also have to give credit to especially Anna Eastman, who was not endorsed by the caucus, and Juliette, who worked on this, helped push it over to the winning part. You know, it's just like, and sitting there, you weren't there, Jennifer, but I was sitting there at the board meeting this past week, and just, it was so interesting, and I know how hard you worked on Lawrence Marshall, but he was actually making a speech in support of this.
Yeah.
And on the side there was Richard Murray from the University of Houston, and Gene Locke, who was the, who ran against Denise for mayor, were also clapping. And in fact, that was the interesting thing, that when they did pass this, everybody was clapping.
Wow.
There was no negative comments coming to the board meeting, that they, it's like, it's time to do this, and it's the right thing to do.
Exactly.
And, and just a congratulations to Jennifer.
Thank you.
For doing this, because we haven't seen a win like this in a, I can't remember when.
I think it's a precursor to non-discrimination in the city, but that's just me.
Well, thank you for your kind words. Now it's time to take on something new.
Okay.
And thank you. Thank
you're
you
welcome.
Again.
You're welcome.
For some reason, I want to say, and this is Jennifer Renee,
and this is Queer Voices.
But no.
No, different time.
And Brian.
But then I look at the clock.
Yes.
Brian, this is an honor you're going to carry with you for the rest of your life.
I am completely honored. This is such a tremendous kudo and just accolade that the community gives, and I'm very honored to receive it and to carry the honor with me for the rest of my life, as long as I live in Houston.
Good.
So thank you for
Thank you all for being here. We have some music?
Yeah, and I have no chance in hell of doing that three-ball voice that Glenn has.
Oh, okay.
To bring us into the music.
No,
that's the voice of God, we call it.
Yes. No.
We're sticking with one of our favorite little CD collections we have here, Club Verboten. We start off the show with...
Oh, I love Club Verboten.
Judy Garland's Over the Rainbow and Gloria Gaynor, I Am What I Am. Since we're going to be doing some anthems here, we're going to Sister Sledge, We Are Family.
All right.
This is After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude. We'll be right back.
All right. Let's see. Oops, wrong button. There we go.
We are family. That's
Sister Sledge?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's been their gay anthem for years.
Just and like I Will Survive.
Yeah. Hey, you know, you go down the street playing those songs, and everyone reacts.
Jose, is your computer turned on in there?
Yes.
Turn it off.
Yes. Now we have
logging up the computer in here.
We have the second crew here. We've got Jose, who's running back to do something with the computer, and we have
my boyfriend Justin.
Someone whose phone is not turned off.
And
your turn. My name is Jake.
Hey, Jake.
Hi, I'm Merlin.
It's
me again.
And Jimmy. And Wes and Chris is making coffee. I love that. So, your impressions of the parade, how many have you been to? I'm addressing for right now Justin and Jake.
I moved here in 04 and I've been to pretty much most of them.
Uh-huh.
I've been in most of them too, but a couple years not being in them. And now I'm back in them. This is my second time being in it since I don't know.
I know how I feel about it. I love watching the parade because you get to see everything.
Yes.
But there's nothing like being in it.
And this was my first time being in it.
I can't believe that.
I know.
Of course, it's a given that if you're in it, you're not going to get to see it.
Well,
yeah. Unless you're like number 2,
yes.
3.
Right, right.
Maybe.
I've done both. I've gone to most parades since I was 19.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And not all of them, but mm-hmm. yeah, most of them. And, yeah, I've been in several, you know, from college on versus, you know, watched a few of them. And, yeah, you know, just like different experiences. If I had to, you know, I was going to just sit back and watch it, I'd want to watch it with friends.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's the best, you know, yeah. Sitting there and watching it by myself really doesn't have any appeal for me.
Oh.
I like the social aspect of it. I like, you know, hang out and be able to, you know, point and, you know.
Dish.
I love
to stand there and dish.
Smile and wave, point and laugh. Mm-hmm.
Or find all the hot guys and put beads directly on them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what you do if you're walking.
That's what you do if you're walking the parade.
Yeah.
But I like the way it's set up with the organization that I'm in, because we get there at 6,
mm-hmm.
and then we walk around and look at all the backstage preparations for the floats, and you get to see people in various states of preparation for their floats, which is kind of entertaining and fun.
Always.
It's really neat
to run into old friends. And
uh-huh. To ride by there about, you know, 11, you know, 12 o'clock in the morning, you know, around noontime, and everybody's just now, you know, starting to put out their floats or getting mm-hmm. lined up.
Or putting together their floats.
Yes.
Like us, ours is always like the day of it.
Yeah, I know.
Putting it together.
We did the same thing.
I mean, we were putting every piece of that together today.
It was
planned out.
Kind of like how you kind of put every piece of you together the day.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. Okay. Yeah, exactly. Because it's, you know, for me, it starts at F30 in the day.
Yes. Yes.
And might I just say, Merlin, Beethoven 6 all the way. That's what I see right here in front of me. Beethoven
I'm six just,
all the way.
You know, I know you're a satyr, but I can't believe you wore fur.
Right?
Yeah, well.
In June.
And you're still alive.
And apparently I'm also a masochist. Because
that line from Hedwig and the Angry Inch comes to mind all of a sudden.
Anything for the show, you mm-hmm. know, the show must go on. Because, I mean, yeah, I'm wearing fake fur from, and it's not. And real fur doesn't breathe. Fake fur breathes even less.
What do you think of the crowds?
I was, you know, it was interesting for me because I saw a few faces.
Mm-hmm.
And there were some that were just, you know, they wanted the attention.
Oh, yes.
You know, or I had a little glow thing and it was a little glow stick in my mm-hmm. hand. Someone was, well, I want that. And I was like, well, you can follow us back. You know, we're not that far from the end here.
I have an odd impression of this parade. And because going down the street, it just seemed that the people on the right side were a lot more
enthusiastic than the people on the left side.
Yes. It's a good thing I was facing the right side then.
And there were a lot more boys in underwear on the right side than there was on
your buddy. Those boys had been at the festival. And it was damn hot out there, but...
Yes.
Yeah, anybody who wants to ban people from wearing stuff like that, they should move this parade to December.
Right.
Because
that's the only time that the fur would work.
Yeah, hello. I mean, it's just...
That's just me. Yeah. What do you guys...
When you said enthusiastic, mm-hmm. the crowd on the left, on the right seemed more enthusiastic. Yeah. Do you mean that you felt that they were encroaching, like, way across
the
barriers?
No, I mean, they were shouting, and they're waving.
They're making noise.
I don't know. I just know that it seemed like we almost hit, like, three or four of them.
They didn't have a barrier, right. And the people were spilling out.
Or were just walking past the barriers.
They were climbing over the barriers.
I almost ran over one.
She ran
right in front of the truck. If I had not been moving at 2 miles an hour and been able to stop, she would have been run over.
Yeah, I saw that.
Mm-hmm. And the group behind us were very enthusiastic, almost to a point where I was like, really? Really? It's just a parade.
And I've only been going to the parade since 2004, but I can notice a big difference in the length of the parade mm-hmm. itself.
Yeah.
It just seems to get shorter and shorter down Westheimer every year.
Mm.
Why is that?
I don't know.
I could think of a list of reasons, most of which I won't say on the air.
I think part of it has to do with the NIMBYs who move in here from other areas expecting it. Oh, well, I'm close to everything. It's convenient. But they don't realize that with that convenience and being close to everything, you pay a certain price.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that it just comes with the territory.
Mm-hmm.
And the NIMBYs and the young upward professionals or whatever, they'll probably be out of here in the next 10 years.
The upward and move on to the
next, you know, wherever the realtors are saying is the next hot place to live.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
the guppies.
Yeah. The guppies.
Guppies.
The guppies and the NIMBYs.
My favorite is guppies.
The gay yuppies.
Gay yuppies. Like the guppy croaker. And
my problem has become the straight yuppie folks who look down their noses at us.
Right.
All the meanwhile, blocking the back streets with their battle wagons, with their Bratmobiles.
Right.
And they want to come to the parade and look
suburban
at us.
Urban assault vehicles.
Urban assault vehicles and look at us like, we're the freaks.
I think they're having fun.
I have no doubt that,
and that's the other change that has happened over the years. People are getting more used to us as being
definitely.
A part of the community.
Absolutely.
Right now is a family affair.
And it is. That having been said, I don't think we need to dumb down the parade.
No.
To satisfy the fact that there are... They come for the show. Let's show them what we are.
I noticed,
in all our glory, the good, the bad, and the...
Yes.
The good, the bad, and the naked.
And the naked.
Yeah. Or half naked.
Yeah.
And I noticed walking through the neighborhood, though, there were people out on their porches or out in their front yards, and they were cheering us on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
And it was, and our, where we were sitting, where the pagan float was, mm-hmm. that one of the women who owned a house right next to where we were
mm-hmm.
actually said, if you need water, if you need anything, come up into the house and we'll get it for you.
Wow.
That was cool. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What we really need... While we're setting up like that, our bathrooms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she offered that too.
Oh,
she was like,
yeah.
Because
when you have to walk two blocks and you know your legs are crossed.
Right.
Would you like to volunteer your services?
Oh, no.
I may be open about some things, but.
Only if you're wearing a yellow handkerchief.
All I'm saying is I went to the rodeo and I had to wait half an hour to use a porta potty at the rodeo. I went to the parade and didn't have to wait at all.
Wow.
Yeah, because everybody is trying. I noticed it was clean,
it didn't smell.
I went into one of the fast food establishments along Westheimer,
mm-hmm.
grab a bite to eat before I headed out to the parade, and their rule was if you want to use our bathroom, it's a dollar.
Oh, yeah. I remember you telling me that.
It's if you want to use the bathroom, it's a dollar. But if you want to buy something, it's free.
You can save them.
Yes, I understand that.
Hmm?
Is the coffee okay?
Yes.
Okay.
A little sweet, but yes. Thank you.
Oh. Well, you know, the man coffee. Is a diabetic. He's used to.
I thought it was 10 scoops of sugar.
I've toned it down.
We'll
to
get
8.
You. Maybe yeah. We'll get you if you crash it.
It's a spoonful of sugar that makes the medicine go down. All
right.
And it's 10 scoops of raisins.
That's the coffee.
That's yeah. 2 scoops of raisins.
Anyhow, I like my raisins. Hey, leave yeah. me alone.
Let's leave your raisins out of this.
I don't even like raisins.
I do.
Anyhow, that's another story altogether.
It is.
I will say one thing I wasn't as pleased to see about. I think walking around, I was the only person I saw that was dressed out in leather.
Really?
Was you.
It was me. It was
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
And I was... Because there
that's
were,
right. I don't remember seeing
there was many. NLA Houston didn't have a walking contingent.
Oh.
And I was the only person I saw that was wearing leather. And
wow.
And I was... Sad to see
oh, no, wait a minute. Vincent was with KPFT, and he okay. had a harness on.
Okay, very cool.
Yeah.
And his harness
and kilt.
Yes.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
There was a...
But
a,
he was wearing boxers.
He looks good and damn near anything.
I know.
Yeah.
And I was out just in blue jeans and my Sam Brown with a black T-shirt mm-hmm. on. But still, man,
there should have been more leather.
There should have been a lot more leather.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that... We need to make definitely encourage more people to wear leather out.
Well, you know, it was 98 degrees.
You know, we all have to suffer for fashion sometimes.
Yeah, hello. And a lot of leather people.
Fashion or lifestyle?
Yeah, a lot of the leather people were leather probably walking or with other right. groups.
Yeah. The leather heathers can come out for pride. I'm okay with that.
there was one out there. He was chained to a pole.
Yeah. We certainly had.
I made sure that he got his. Yeah.
We certainly had some get drag it. Queens.
Yes, I noticed.
It's nice to know we still
people
have
people from all walks of life along that parade.
Yeah. Yeah,
drag queens are out in full force.
Oh, no, yeah,
fun to see that.
And that and is amazing too. Sizes. When you think if they're wearing this huge
and all makes
wig
right. and all ranges of drama.
Yeah,
as I once told a woman who had never been to a drag show, you know, if it's 6'5" with Hallelujah Hails and hair and wearing a full sequin gown and beaded gown in 90 degree weather, that's a man in a dress mm-hmm. if it's in this neighborhood.
Oh, you yeah. just described the queen that we ran for. Like that we were in the parade with Miss Lambda, and she was 6'5" probably.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
With a beautiful yellow dress with satin sequins and, you know.
Is that or it's Cher?
Mile-high yeah. hair with the mile-high queen.
Oh, yeah.
Crown.
Yeah, that or it's Cher. Exactly.
Cher, yeah.
Right.
But that's part of the parade because that's part yes. of us.
She went to get in the car, and I was like, girl, can you bend down in that dress?
And on that note.
And let me
on
tell
that,
you.
Wait. On that note, it's time for our PSAs.
Oh, okay.
Did you know you can find KPFT on the social networking sites Twitter and Facebook? You certainly can, and we'd love you to add us as a friend and get us connected with friends of yours. Join our fan page and check out a special video message from General Manager Dwayne Bradley, as well as keep up with KPFT programmers and staff. Visit facebook.com/KPFT Houston to join us. To follow us, visit twitter.com/KPFT. With both, you can link up with other KPFT listeners, get the latest news about the station, and find lots of extras. It's fun, so catch up with KPFT online. Again, on Twitter, visit twitter.com/KPFT. On Facebook, visit us at facebook.com/KPFT Houston. This is commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio, 90.1 KPFT Houston.
Listeners support KPFT in many different ways. Some write checks and others use credit cards. But if you're spinning your wheels looking for a tax deduction, think about donating your working but unwanted car, motorcycle, boat, or truck to KPFT. You'll qualify for a tax deduction and at the same time take care of that unfinished business. To make a donation, call our toll-free vehicle donation hotline at 877-308-2408. We'll arrange for your vehicle to be picked up and the title transferred. Then we'll send you a receipt for your tax deduction. It's that simple to support the station you've come to rely on for alternative music, news, and public affairs programming. Again, for more information or to make a donation, call our toll-free vehicle donation hotline at 877-308-2408. You're tuned in to commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio, KPFT Houston, radio for people.
And you're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Gallus, and 89.7 Huntsville, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that was set
up
one breath.
We are back, and there's an event that I want to talk about because the group is near and dear to my heart. And it is happening Thursday, July the 14th, from 4 to 9 p.m. at Mission Burritos, the one on West Alabama.
That's down the block.
And it benefits Lazarus House. Mm-hmm. And anything that you buy during that time, on that date, 25% of it goes to Lazarus House.
So oh, wow.
We've got to fill that restaurant.
Yeah. And this is when?
July 14th.
July 14th.
July
14th.
Okay.
Yeah. Hi, we got a new one here.
Hello.
Hi. Welcome.
Who are you?
I am Robbie Albrecht.
Hi, Robbie.
Hi, Robbie. Proud to be gay.
And we're proud that you're proud.
And how did you like the parade?
You know, this was my first pride I've been to, and I can't believe
you're kidding.
I've never been to this. This is amazing.
Oh.
Absolutely amazing. Over the top. And everybody is so supportive. You know, I see people handing out free ice, you know, all these sponsors.
Mm-hmm.
It was fabulous. It was just fabulous.
Why haven't you been to one before?
He's a closet case.
I was getting under a rock.
You know? Oh, okay. Okay, I got that.
I can't believe it, you know.
Deadbolts on the closet door.
Man.
Right? Closets are for clothes, queen. And sitting back here in the corner being...
himself.
Quiet. Lock up your pets, hide your children, virgins here.
Hey, everybody!
So, what pride number is this for you?
The ones you can remember, that is.
My first one was probably like when I was like 19.
And you're what, like 40 now?
No. No, not yet.
Another couple of years.
Hey, you'll reach it before I do. And Jimmy's passed.
And so family. How many years would that be, dear?
Well, before you get yourself too deep in.
Well, I know. Well, I think the first one I went to was probably like when I was like 19 or 20.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm 31 now.
Okay.
And I maybe missed one or two, so yeah.
Wow. Have you ever been in one?
No.
Really?
Never marched in one, but I've always been like on the sidelines like... Yeah. Trying to get beads and whatnot, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I love it.
Keep your shirt down next time, huh?
Hey, that gets me beads sometimes. All right,
sometimes. And speaking of which, I have to say the bear crowd was very there today.
You can take your shirt off during the parade.
Oh, believe me, my shirt was off the whole day. I got to get my tan.
All right, I'm glad to hear it.
Sorry, I didn't mean to
talk over you, Jake. You were saying.
Oh, I was just saying the bear crowd was in full effect tonight. There's lots and lots and lots of.
I saw a lot of.
Yes,
I saw a lot of them in front of Mary's.
Well, the Houston area Bears, which is my big club.
Oh.
Had their contingent in there, and they invited all the Houston Bears to come in and join them.
They were there. There was one float where there was just nothing but Bears with shower caps.
Yes, because
I didn't see any water.
They had
the foam
thing.
That
explains
the person I saw wearing a bathrobe and shower.
Yeah, they had the foam machine working.
I kept asking for a scrub brush. I was like, anybody?
Ooh.
Oh yeah, the Tony's float. Oh, that was ridiculous.
Oh, yeah, what was that like?
Yeah. Oh, it was Tony's corner pocket. Yeah,
I didn't see it.
Well, it was a.
Did they have a foam party?
No. What?
Oh, after me.
What the Houston area Bears did? Which was the Tony's float?
Oh, okay. There you go.
The Tony's float was the Houston area Bears. What they did was a. For those that didn't get to see it was a giant clawfoot bathtub. The spout, the water spout that flows into the bathtub, was hooked up to a foam machine.
And cool.
It had foam going into the bathtub. And the guys were in the bathtub in bathing suits or shorts or whatever.
Or nothing.
With no shirts on.
Ooh.
To make it seem like they were in the bathtub naked.
Oh, my goodness.
It definitely looked like that.
Yeah.
Ah.
And, of course, all their walkers, they asked to be in, like, bathrobes or just a towel wrapped around them with obviously something underneath to be street legal and everything. So
grandma's. Anyway.
So they were asked to kind of ham it up out there and have fun with it and everything.
I know I saw Tony and some of the dancers.
Yeah, well, they had actually asked the dancers and one of the DJs from Tony's to come and be on the float also. So they had a DJ spinning tunes on the float and a couple of dancers up on the float dancing also.
Yeah, I saw what those dancers were wearing. Woo!
Yes.
So, yeah. And of course, as always, Tony supported that because, you know, Tony's Quarter Pocket is the home for the Houston area Bears.
You bet.
And Tony's an amazing businessman.
Yes, he is.
Amazing.
Yeah. It's a fun bar.
From New York, that's all I have to say. Amazing businessman.
And he always has the most incredible barbacks. Oh my God, where does he find these guys?
No comment.
Right?
I used to live that lifestyle. I don't know anymore. Oh, did I just... Ooh, was that political?
Okay!
Well...
Anyway.
Drink or juice.
I think after this...
Thank you.
I think after
don't
this...
Don't talk about me like I'm not here.
I think after this year, I probably will walk with you guys again next year. I really enjoyed myself.
Did you really?
Yes.
I you know, you were the tail guy.
Right. I was.
And I loved it because you had to wear this...
The orange vest.
This orange vest. And you put it on, and it looked like a bra.
It did. And I tied it up, and it lifted and separated.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Did you feel so... Womanly.
I felt so pretty. So happy and gay. Anyway,
so you ended up wearing it elsewhere.
Yes. Vincent, in his infinite wisdom, and I thank him for this, tucked it into the waistband of my shorts.
And across your back.
Across my back. Mm-hmm. So
it
worked.
Like a half skirt.
More or less.
But the top half of the skirt.
Oh, well, actually, for Jose, it would have been a quarter skirt.
Oh, yeah,
well,
okay.
No,
what do you want me to do? Dress in drag and do the hula?
You know, you had on the color.
Give them ideas
you know.
For next year.
You're a little bit more Pumba than Timon.
Exactly.
Anybody got an apple?
Actually, what we'll do next year is we'll put this one, Virgin. We'll put him like the pig on a spit.
Mm.
Oh. Can we actually spit him?
No. We'll just tie his arms and legs to the pole, and we'll be like, you know.
All right.
If the leather group did it too, I'd have to be in both of them. You know?
Robbie, I am so glad you that your press. First parade was such a positive experience.
Oh my God!
Yeah. Because
it was amazing.
Yeah.
Why don't we do this every weekend?
It's like, where's the rest of the gay community down
try
on every average weekend?
That
I know it. Where are these people?
Yeah, where do these people come from? Like, out of the woodwork?
It's a parade. It's a party.
I have asked every year, where are all these people the other 364
days
a year?
Like, I've never seen you
women.
At JR, South Beach, F Bar,
my God.
You know, name it. I've never seen you out.
I know.
It's too bad.
There were some beautiful things to look at.
Oh, yeah, there was a many of them.
Well, to answer that question, why haven't I seen you at the bars, because I think most of the crowd that I saw tonight, a good portion of the crowd I saw tonight, was underage.
Okay, yeah, that's
right. And that keeps them from the bars. Why? How?
Because some of the bars actually do card.
Oh!
That's another issue. But that just goes to show how society's changing, that people are more comfortable coming out early.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, there's the no bullying law and all that stuff.
And we were talking about this in the last segment, that the youth of today go to mixed bars. Hang out with their straight friends.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I see that Friday nights at the place where I go. So
yeah. where there's, you know, gay and straight are acceptable.
A lot more straight people come into gay bars.
Mm-hmm. A lot more straight people are willing to, let's say, have a little bi fun, if you will.
No.
Oh, yes. Of course.
I mean, I don't know how many baseball players I knew in high school who the straightest guys you would know, and, hey, let me suck you off. Okay.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
And remember, Virgin.
Straight to bed.
Yeah. Silence is golden. Yeah. Duct tape is silver.
And we still have some of that.
We used to have a lot of that.
Yes, we do.
Or I've got some electrical tape in my truck.
Oh, he's got some on his shirt right here. Let's just pull that off real quick.
Yeah. Oh, the equality over the iHeart New York.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just in time for Pride.
Oh yes. Yeah.
New York's Pride.
I made
tomorrow,
this myself.
By the way.
Yeah.
Oh, you know they're gonna party love it when you get ghetto.
Yeah. You know, the
Christopher Street.
I grew up in
the whole New York thing is just another added bonus this year.
Just like when they overturned Lawrence v. Texas.
Yeah. That was incredible. Yeah. That was like 3 days before the Pride Parade
when that
was overturned.
And that was
it
big.
Was just incredible.
Oh, the parties that were had that
day. Yeah.
Because
all of a sudden we weren't criminals anymore.
I honestly don't remember that party. Because I was in a blackout. But.
Oh, well, you were a lot of fun.
I'm.
I think Jimmy learned some things that night.
I heard.
We've all heard.
Look how many turns.
Oh, my goodness.
You see a few things written on the bathroom wall at the ripcord and stuff. And
oh, goodness.
I swear to God, Jimmy's numbers are like at least in three different corners.
I once said this in a
and
poem,
how many corners
and
is
it's
yours
still
in?
True. Here he is, Jimmy, at the age he's at, and he can still be embarrassed by something. His face can still be turned red at anything somebody says.
Isn't that amazing?
Wait a minute.
Jaded as I am.
Jimmy, I'll be there, because he can make my face turn red at the drop of a hat.
and other parts of him turn red at the drop of a pants.
Purple, whatever. Anyway, yes.
But what?
Oh, it was purple, all right, honey, but it wasn't his heart.
Love you,
Jay. Oh,
I love you,
too.
I love you, too.
So, for people who have seen the parade more than once, how did it compare to past years?
Like, it went quicker.
Did it?
It started at 8:15, didn't it?
Well,
I think it...
Yeah.
And the thing was, it wasn't 8:15 gay standard time.
No. No, it was 8:15.
It was 8:15.
Yeah.
And
fortunately, we were number 71, so it was dark by the time
we were number 93.
It was.
we sat.
Oh, no.
I can almost always predict where. I've done this so many times now that you can almost always predict where the crowd is going to change in numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, at the very beginning. There's like a few. There's a few. That you go past the school, mm-hmm. and there's like very
Ten.
Few.
Yeah.
And then you hit like into the antiques district,
yes.
and it starts to get
and
a little busier.
Yeah.
It reaches a fever pitch somewhere around McDonald's, Wendy's.
Right about McDonald's,
oh my
Wendy's,
God.
It starts to go all kinds of crazy.
Yes. And then when you turn that corner.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I was at the curve.
Yeah.
So. I have to just put a little shout out for my friend. I'm a little saddened that Tauticus did not MC the parade this year.
I know.
I look forward to that because he's one of the funniest people I've ever
he
heard.
He is.
And it was, you know, I appreciate who was there, but at the same time, I felt a little.
He does it well.
I'm not Tauticus.
Yeah, because I mean, he talks off the cuff.
Yes.
And the guys this year just kind of read the prepared statement for KPFT. I don't know what he do with other people.
I can imagine.
We have a prepared statement for him.
Who was it?
I have no idea who he was.
Oh.
I didn't recognize him.
I can imagine the kind of hell that Tauticus would have given me for being in the parade.
Yes, see? Yeah. And that's part of the fun. Yeah.
I knew him from way back at Mausoleum.
Mm-hmm. We all used to do poetry together.
Yeah.
I have a poem of his that has me in it. On my wall at home. It's a three-page thing in three different frames. Signed and everything. From 11 years ago.
Oh, my goodness.
Love Gaudicus.
Mm. So, for people who've seen the parade, you know, were there like more professional floats or less professional floats? Or
I was really surprised.
I didn't see the parade.
When I saw the Diana's float.
That was incredible.
I was just like, wow.
Wow.
I heard and hearing about the Tony's Corner Pocket, and that was brilliant.
That was the one that wasn't the. It was. The Diana's float got the Judy Garland Award?
Right, right.
Okay.
The Judy Garland.
Oh, I've never. Is there a list of the awards already?
Oh, they judged them at 6 o'clock.
I'm sorry, girl. I had to go eat.
Yeah.
I was tired and exhausted. It was hot outside.
I don't understand.
Who won?
That's so when the you're in the parade,
right.
You can advertise that you already won.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
Which makes sense.
Yeah. It's nice. Up it to used to be that you didn't find out until the next day.
Right, I remember that.
That's when they had the Pride Festival the day after the parade.
Yes.
Oh, that would be awesome to have a whole weekend just for us.
I remember I used to do that because I was president of the gay student group at Texas A&M. And we went the next, because we were nominated for Walking Group Awards.
Yeah.
Because we did our... we did our big banner, and then we did the Aggie Yells all across the front, all the way down the street.
And when you went down that street, people were openly bawling, just just because there's a gay group at Texas A&M.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, it just seems unheard of that it would ever happen.
How late does the festival go?
1 to 7.
Oh. See, that's way too... You see, I still think those should be... They should be on different days, because that's way too close to the...
Well...
To go and...
But and the people, to the
and the people
crowd.
Who are involved in the festival almost can't go to the parade, because they've got to tear down and take their stuff back, and...
I know, on the way back from
Aramark.
My apartment, I'd run over to an after party, and another friend picked me up to take me back to my place. I noticed on the way up here, those little gas-powered golf cart things, there was a little line of them going up Garrett to the, I guess, to the Pride office.
There was one person in a golf cart. There was one person in a golf cart. I was wondering how he drives a car.
We heard quite a bit of screeching golf carts today.
He was launching off.
Did he think he was in the Shriners?
I was waiting for him to lose his passenger.
Yeah, he thought he was off-roading.
Dude.
And then someone would say, hey, and then he just hit the brakes. And
I didn't know golf carts move that
fast. They don't necessarily have analog brakes for golf carts, but at the same time, I mean, little tenderness.
Great mother goddess. He was just like...
I know your friend Randy went to the mandatory meeting, and he was kind of surprised that who was in it and who wasn't. Because he said there were only four bars that were in that parade, which is really kind of odd, because usually every gay bar is in the parade.
I do have to say that one of my favorite things is the movement of freedom and acceptance for gay pride. However, I do like seeing a good naked man or two.
Oh yeah,
you know, and so that's primarily what the bar floats are.
True.
That I've seen.
They're naked.
There were, like, FR had some amazingly beautiful men, but I didn't see any other bar floats.
I saw Montrose Mining Company.
Oh, except for Tony's. Yeah.
Tony's, two of Charles Armstrong's.
Guava Lamp had one, had a fire truck.
Was that Guava Lamp?
Yeah, it was Guava Lamp.
And I don't know who...
Montrose Mining Company had a float. I saw theirs from a distance.
There was a beautiful young man who passed by us at one point who had these huge holes in his ears, those big rings.
Gauges.
Gauges in his ear. And then he was covered with tattoos up and down his arms.
Mm.
And two thoughts came to mind. One, damn, he was hot. And two, he's young enough to be my son.
Son. Which brings me to a point. Why can't we put beads on the hot cops?
Well,
I just have to ask, because you know that's how I give out beads at a parade. Is I, you know, if they're hot, I give them beads, And if a girl is standing next to him says, "Is it because he's a guy?" I'm like, "No, it's because he's hot." You know, if they're, I mean, would we get arrested if we put beads on a cop?
Well,
I would approach them carefully.
Yeah.
Yes.
I would mind giving beads to the one guy who showed a little bit more than.
Because they might consider that assault because you're touching him or something.
But if we say, I think first, would that be all right?
Or you can hand it to him.
Feel.
Here, take this home to your kid.
Put this on right now and open your shirt.
Exposed. Oh my God, I've got handcuffs just like that at home.
Right?
Oh my God.
Oh yes.
Oh,
I saw mine have pink fur.
You have can that? You do a body cavity search?
Sometimes you worry me. That one episode of Golden Girls where they arrest the bad guy in their house, and they say, "I need handcuffs," and everybody looks at Blanche Devereaux. Blanche Devereaux. Everybody, you know, it's like what?
Really?
I have handcuffs. They just no longer have a set of keys to them.
Oh, sorry.
Leather cuffs, anyone?
Pair of keys.
Ooh. Girl, that means you've lost too much weight.
Ooh.
Don't get me started. We have another conversation altogether.
It's all kidding.
Okay, back to the parade.
Back to the parade. Oh, my God, the parade.
Woo!
I actually had a good time.
It's like herding cats in here.
Right. I'm surprised that they have a disco group ball.
No, Jimmy, it's herding hens with this.
Oh.
Group.
I was really kind of, when I started this year, I was kind of depressed about this.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because?
Well, if we can talk about it, all of the different things they decided to change this year, or rules they thought they were going to impose this year, which went out the window.
With no glitter. Hello.
I'm wearing
pagans?
Glitter from head to toe.
And I wasn't even thinking when I put on this shirt.
His arms.
Yeah.
Just by pumping into a track.
How can you have a gay event without glitter?
Well, Prado did look a little sad.
Glitter and be gay.
I know. And he was standing on the sideline.
One of my favorite things in the world.
He didn't have his Mattachine Society handbook.
Sorry, I don't do suit and tie. Never happened. The day I do that,
you'll be laying down.
We'll pass out.
Yeah.
They'll be like, "Oh my God."
No, the day you're found in a suit and tie, you'll be laying down.
Yeah.
And not breathing.
And his legs will actually be in the same position as his body.
No. I mean, the things like the change in when they judge the floats and stuff. I'm sorry. It's a nighttime parade. We have lights. You know, some of the floats have lights and things. I'm sorry, at 8:15 in the summer here, it's not that dark yet.
And I'll be honest with you, I believe I saw when the judging occurred.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason the golf cart slowed down is because they made a turn to get to us. They drove right past us, and I go, "I think we were just judged in the parade."
Mm-hmm.
It's like, "Well, what makes you say that?" Well, there was four people in that golf cart, and three of them had clipboards.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're just seeing if you had all the wheel attendants.
No. It was just, I mean, they just blew by, and it was like, you know, then we saw that the Diana Society had the...
Mm-hmm.
Actually, we didn't really notice the banner first. We noticed the banner holder first.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, we earlier were talking about why different groups, why there were a lot of the groups that you expect to see weren't there this year. I think that has to do a lot with price tag.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
oh, it's pricey.
I mean, how many groups do we have? We have tons of groups that are 501c3s,
mm-hmm.
and some of them, you know, survive barely. You know,
they don't have $100 or $200 to,
you know, and then another hundred and something if they want to throw something. Mm. And I mean, that's,
oh wow,
really? I mean, that's the part that gets me. It's like, yeah. I literally think they priced a whole bunch of people out of the parade.
Absolutely.
And well, I think I think that's wrong.
And it's because of the price is part of the reason why we put together the after hours float, the KPFT float, like we did, because we already put in the money, and, you know, that's listener contributions to support our community, and that's why we stepped up to do that part, was we didn't want that money that was entrusted to our station to just go to waste.
Yeah, we don't have a lot of grassroots organizations in the parade anymore.
Yeah.
It's gotten a lot more corporate and a lot more professional.
That drives me nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm sorry, I really do feel that
and
this parade's supposed to represent the community. And that means, that to me means everyone from the guys who can barely afford to be in the parade to the big corporations which are now willing to say they support us.
Right.
Yes. But I don't know, you know, as a community, we're certainly evolving, and we're evolving fast.
Yes.
Because in my lifetime, we've gone from deep cover to marriage. You can understand that, Robbie.
Yes.
Jimmy misses the deep cover.
Yes,
well, no, but from going being mentioned in the newspaper from the police blotter section to the wedding as an engagement section.
Right. So, exactly. You know, how are we evolving? You know, I think that we're not supporting gay bars anymore because we don't feel we have to, and we want to enjoy being gay and hanging out with our straight friends. So there's that.
I realize they say, you know, they call it growing pains. Mm-hmm. I get that. You know,
it's called assimilation.
Assimilation. And I'm sorry, I feel like that whole Mattachine thing of, you know,
right.
The last time we tried to assimilate, you know, this is what, you know, like, we're saying. It's just.
But it is. It is.
You know.
And every group who's come to America has assimilated.
And
in one way or another.
And I think. While you gain something, you also lose something.
Yes, of course.
And some of that, on some level, still seems important to me. I mean, we talk about why we only have, like, Hollywood now. Mm-hmm. When we used to have Crossroads and Lobos and, you know, all these places you could go to. Well, yes, because we're more accepted, places like that, you know, where we go to other places with our straight friends.
Yeah,
but we also lose those places that used to be uniquely.
Yeah,
you can stay home and buy those books online.
Uh-huh.
You
know, exactly. Yeah.
For the most part, to your local big box bookstore and buy those items now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to carry it home in a brown paper bag from the bookstore anymore.
Oh, the loss of the brown paper bag.
Yeah.
I think by the time I came along, it was a black plastic bag.
Yes.
Well, the Lobo, you know, Lobo used to be a black.
Lobo had a back door.
Yes.
Because
and Jimmy was very familiar with the back door
because of the films that they rented, and people didn't want to be seen going in and out the front door.
And
that was just a few years ago.
And Lobo's former location was, I mean, a hole in the wall,
and all the films were upstairs.
All the films were upstairs, and you were taking your life going into the place. And you were taking your life going up that staircase.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Was,
yeah.
Yeah.
And the floor was not very stable.
No.
It was like,
no.
You know.
No.
You could hear anything moving upstairs. You could hear a cockroach fart upstairs. Oh, my God.
That's that building where behind Anvil?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And for the life of you. It was more than your life was worth to go into the bathroom in Lobos, in that Lobos, on a Monday. Because they were attached to the daiquiri factory.
Oh, okay.
They shared a bathroom with the other place in that.
Not a
No.
Okay.
Anyhow.
Anyway.
It's still a part of Montrose history.
This is about the parade, how come?
One thing I noticed, though, is that this year, more than years in years past, there wasn't just the festival, but each bar or each restaurant was having something of their own along the parade route.
Yes, and that's a bitch I'm going to have with the Pride Committee, because in past years, they have worked with these businesses and bars to include these events in the whole Pride package and advertise it and promote it, yes. But they only promote it there 1 week. Mm. Okay, that's my bitch.
You're done convention over there?
There seem to be like 5,000 events to go to Pride Week.
Right.
Yeah.
There was a lot,
I mean,
because the Pride committee had their seven or six or how many, and other organizations are doing the same thing. So,
which is both kind of overkill and wow, that's kind of cool because we can do that and people will go to them.
Because there are people who will go to one and not go to the other. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. There is that.
Yeah. I remember early on when the pagans were doing that, we went to some black tie or something from a gay Hispanic group.
Oh, yeah, the ballet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Our industrious leader was one that was friends that was, with
that's,
somebody.
Yeah, that's
that
big black. They yeah. They still have it.
Oh, cool.
It's another organization that's running it now, and but they that's yeah. the big event of the season.
Yeah. I mean, and it's cool that we have, on some level, that yes. we have these big that we can have these big events, and that people will attend them.
We even
that,
have our know. Own Pride Idol now.
Yeah,
right. Are any of these people
watch,
gay?
I don't watch American
I think
Idol.
They are
gay American.
Did you see the winner?
No.
You know, short hair, tattoos everywhere.
Male or female?
Female.
Okay.
She looked like a boy, but yeah.
He's in here gesturing at me. I'm like, no, no, no. No.
What does he want you to do?
You two get a buddy booth if you're going to do that.
One with,
I don't think I want to know what
one with many is. Windows.
Just for the love of God, no squishy noises.
Oh, goodness.
One, oh, goodness. Never mind.
Oh, I get it. Okay.
Where were we?
Jimmy, next time I just won't put the rain fly on the tent.
You were talking about gay American Idol.
Yes. These people are gay.
I believe they are.
Okay. I mean, they don't have to be.
Was no. There's not a rooster-licking competition.
No, that was the case Jimmy would have won.
It's the Pride Idol. It's a weekly thing until they
rooster-licking.
They have like 10 contestants in each week.
Do they have it at JR?
We can't call it what it
no,
really is.
No, they have it at Guava.
Otherwise,
oh. Really no, this year was at Meteor.
Oh, Meteor. They have it at okay. Meteor.
Well, I can say, well, the finale was having my own personal experiences in all the karaoke bars in Houston. Because that's my training, singing.
Oh, really?
It was one of them. But
who knew?
I tended to really not like to perform at the bars because there are so many people there that thought that they were already on American Idol. Yes. And they'd have, like, parents and children in the audience, or people acting like parents and children, so let's be honest.
Yeah.
And, you know, as a person that wants to just get up there and sing and have fun, you know, there's all these other bitches, like, just... I'm sorry. Just total.
I know what you mean.
Just totally judging.
I think those ones that stand, you know, on the sidelines and sound like the old men in the balcony from the Muppet
Show. Oh, from the Muppet Show. Definitely. That's exactly how I felt.
I love that.
I was like, don't judge me. I'm just singing Christina Aguilera. Leave me alone. I mean, seriously.
Well,
karaoke's for fun. It's not
it
for.
Is.
Yeah.
I tell these queens all the time, it's like, honey, it's not American Idol. If it was, we all wouldn't be here.
Right.
I still think karaoke translates to tone deaf in English, but okay.
It depends.
Many times.
We call that scaryoke.
Yeah.
That struck
that too. Okay.
What'd you say?
I said that struck on lesbian night.
Oh. He did not go there.
I never
No, no,
go
no.
There.
That's over at EJ's.
That's a lot. There's not that much polycole to go around, honey.
Oh, God. Is it time for music?
Which brings you to our next
We month. Could.
Yeah, let's take a break.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see here. What have we got?
Sylvester.
Yes. Sucker and Suffertash. That, too. Here we go.
Sucker Not off. That Sylvester boy
stuff. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, you can't trust the counter on that song.
Yeah, I forgot about that one.
Yeah, tonight we've been playing kind of anthems. Start off with Judy Garland, Over the Rainbow, Gloria Gaynor, I Am What I Am, Sister Sledge, We Are Family, Sylvester, Take Me to Heaven, and that was the Pet Shop Boys, Go West. If you go over to our Facebook page, we've got a... this past week I put a lot of videos up there. You know, in honor of what happened in New York yesterday, we had a Liza Minnelli singing New York, New York. Kinsey Six, Chapel of Love, which hopefully we'll get to retire soon. And a different version of I Am What I Am this week from an Irish singer, Dame Shirley Bassey. Bass, or I don't know. And the way she sings it, I just love the way I was hearing it.
Yeah, so. You were telling me about that.
And it's just, yeah, you know, she did change one of his lyrics, you know, about wearing each sparkle and each spangle.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she didn't have any sparkles on, but she was wearing feathers, so she kind of goes, yeah, for each feather, and kind of floated it up a little bit. We're going to do a little something fun here. Then we're going to get some roundtable stuff. We've got some serious and some not so serious stuff for the roundtable. But one of the things that floats around the internet quite often, especially through Facebook stuff, and Vincent gave this quiz to me, and it is the Get Your Gay Card quiz. Now, I took it and got a 24, which was like a gay in training.
Oh.
Wes here took it and...
I got a 60, which was... What, I forget what it said on that one, but I was a pretty good gay guy.
Mm-hmm.
So we decided that we needed to test the Queen of the Montrose here.
The gayest man on the planet.
Oh, well.
So you can go to getyourgaycard.com and follow along. We're going to ask Jimmy the questions, put in his answers, and mm-hmm. see what comes up.
Okay.
With his 25 question. I already know what Jimmy's first answer is going to be.
Okay.
You have at least one of these divas on your iPod.
Now, in Jimmy's case, we all know he doesn't have an iPod, so if it's in his collection anywhere.
Mm-hmm, okay.
Gaga, Madonna, Britney, Cher, Kylie.
I have two.
So you want to say yes?
Yes.
Okay. Even though it's not on your iPod. See, I put it because I didn't have an iPod. I don't have any other singers.
No.
You have found yourself in one of these destinations. Mykonos, Fire Island, Provincetown.
Mykonos, what?
Mykonos, that's an island in Greece.
Yeah, I know.
Fire Island
mm-hmm.
or Provincetown?
I've been to Provincetown.
You can name at least one musical by Stephen Sondheim.
Yes, Into the Woods.
You know the lyrics to And I'm Telling You.
Of course.
From Dreamgirls.
Oh, yes.
You have a strict personal grooming ritual that extends below the neck.
If it's anything like what he described to me earlier today, I'll answer that one for him.
Yes, 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 I do.
Your drink at the bar usually has a tiny paper umbrella in it.
No. I only drink Diet Coke.
They could put an umbrella in that.
They could, but then, you know.
You are usually the best dressed in the room.
Oh. Oh, God. No, just because I wear a shirt with a horse on it. I wouldn't say best dressed, no.
You have worn out your copy of The Sound of Music.
It's kind of scratchy.
It's worn out.
Your love from abs trumps your love for carbs.
Ooh. Ouch. No.
You have at least one devoted hag.
Yes.
Judy's a lesbian. She doesn't count as a hag. Well, she does, but not in the sense for this quiz. Number 11. You set the standard for dinner parties.
No.
Number 12, you came out of the womb with dancing shoes.
No, he came out of the womb with knee pads.
I made a 32 on that quiz.
I am a charter member of the No Rhythm and Blues organization.
That will be a flat no.
You own and use at least 3 hair products.
Yes.
I've seen his hair in the morning.
Yes.
Number 14, you know how to make an entrance.
Yes. I can do that.
Pink knee pads at Louis.
Number 15, you can never own too many shoes.
That's right.
Of course.
Oh, my God, I can't believe it. When I moved, oh, my God, I couldn't believe how many pairs of shoes I had.
How many boxes?
Yeah.
Number 16, you identify with Blanche DuBois.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Number 17, you can name all the Golden Girls.
And if you can, yes. I want to hear you name all of them.
Oh. Rose, Blanche. Oh, God. I guess I can't.
Ma.
Yeah. No. I can't
Dorothy.
Remember. Dorothy. That's right.
You like number 18. You like sports, but have trouble naming a player or team.
True. I know their faces.
You know their crotches.
I was going to say, you know their faces? Don't you mean their crotches?
Well,
number 9.
That's on another one of my addresses. Yes.
Number 19. You understand the importance of good lighting.
Yes. Oh God, yes.
Number 20, you have called someone girlfriend who is neither a girl nor a friend.
Yep. Often.
You know that bears and pigs are not necessarily wildlife.
I love that question.
Well, of course.
You are familiar with the bandana code and know to stay away from brown.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
23, you know the difference between turquoise and carnelian.
Yes.
Your underwear is organized into A team, B team, and laundry day.
Oh my God. Yes, they are.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And number 20.
And you know how many pairs I have?
One of each.
Of underwear? Well over 100.
Oh, jeez.
And number 25. You know that black and brown do not go together ever.
That's right. No.
Unless you're a Rottweiler.
Oh, can you imagine black pants with brown shoes? Oh, my God, never.
So how gay is Jimmy Carper? He's having trouble calculating.
Oh, they're calculating it?
There it goes.
Here we go. Push the right button.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Wait a minute. Before you do that, hold on a second.
Your score.
Hold on.
Oh, God.
I know what he's doing. Thank you, Wes.
Hold on, I'm almost there.
We don't take phone calls.
All right, and how? And just how gay is Jimmy?
That's pretty gay.
Jimmy Carper has scored an 80.
Ooh. He's gay, gay, gay.
You have earned your card. Carry it proudly, you fine queen.
Thank you.
I made a 32.
You're kidding.
Too much.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I got scored a 24 as well. I'm waiting for the lesbian card to come out. Maybe I'll do better there.
He did a little bit better than I did. I got a 60.
Wow.
God.
Wow. That was pretty... I was expecting a lot of show tunes or something in that, because the way you guys were talking, so...
Yeah. Tweet of the day that's just come in from Almighty God.
Yes.
Gays will be getting married in New York, so I guess I'll have to send them some tornadoes. Mm. I hope I don't miss and hit Kansas.
Ooh.
That is the tweet of the day from Almighty God.
Oh, gee whiz.
Interesting thing with the gay marriage stuff... The New York Times had a big front page splash about it.
Yeah.
The New York Daily News had their headline was called History and had a picture of a group
people down at Christopher Street and the Stonewall Inn mm-hmm. who were celebrating the gay marriage results. The New York Times Post, the New York Post, I'm sorry, New York Post, Rupert Murdoch's.
Yes.
Their front page was a thing of a woman attempting suicide and a fireman pulling her in at the last second.
Mm-hmm. No surprise there.
With a big red, but they did have a big red strip across the bottom that said, turn to page two for the gay marriage vote.
On page two.
Yeah. We're going to be talking a little bit more about that and with...
And the possible effects across the country.
And but one thing we're going to do, because we're getting close to the top of the hour, and then we'll come back and do this. There's one story I say I wanted to talk about of how far we've come and how far we still need to go mm-hmm. on this. And that Jimmy was looking at me earlier when I mentioned this to him. Kind of like, you want to play a news report from 1973?
Oh, my goodness.
And I don't think you knew about this.
No, I this is...
This is something I haven't heard about. This is from a thing that Queerty put up there. Someone was mentioning it's the 38th anniversary
mm-hmm.
of a horrific, I don't know if it's put down as a hate crime or not, because really it's unsolved, who committed this murder,
mm-hmm.
in this arson murder in New Orleans. And the part I found interesting of it was listening to... They have YouTube clips of the national news coverage of this death of 29 people.
What happened?
I guess I can read the story and we'll go with the thing here.
Okay.
June 24th, 1973 marked a lively summer day at the Upstairs Lounge, a second-floor gay bar in New Orleans' Gay Triangle. The lounge had just hosted its regular services for the gay-friendly Metropolitan Community Church.
Oh.
Then the bar held a free beer and all-you-can-eat special for 125 people in the afternoon. Now that evening had come, about 60 patrons enjoyed David Gary's piano playing and discussed the bar's upcoming MCC fundraiser to help Crippled Children's Hospital. And at 7:56, the bartender, Buddy Rasmussen, heard the downstairs buzzer and asked Luther Boggs to go check the door. Normally, cabbies would ring the buzzer to tell people they had arrived.
Mm-hmm.
But when Boggs went to answer the door, he found no cab driver. He said he found the flames of a Molotov cocktail engulfing the wooden staircase climbing towards the bar.
Oh, God.
Rasmussen led about 20 or 30 people through an unmarked exit behind the bar where they emerged on the roof and hopped from roof to roof until they found a way down. But 30 other remained in the lounge, ran confused to barred windows where they tried to escape.
Mm.
One man managed to squeeze through the 14-inch gap between the bars and the sill. He jumped onto the street, his body in flames, and died there.
Ooh.
Reverend Bill Lawson clung to the bars and slowly melted into the window frame where his charred body stayed visible for hours afterwards. Assistant pastor George Mitchell escaped, but when he realized his boyfriend, Louis Prasari, was still in the bar, he went back in to save him. Workers would later find their charred bodies holding each other among the charred wreckage.
Mm.
The fire lasted 16 minutes and killed 29 people, and three more who died later from their burns, including Boggs, the man who answered the door. New Orleans had never seen such a larger death toll by fire at that time, nor had the United States seen such a large mass murder of gays and lesbians. It remains the largest gay and lesbian massacre ever to occur in our country. And now, even as then, few people ever talk about it.
Few people even know about it.
It's the first I've heard of it.
And so what I'm going to do when we come back from the PSAs on Top of the Hour is I'm going to play for you some of the news coverage of that okay. made the national. It's interesting to hear how they talked of us 38 years ago.
Let's face it, most of today's media caters to our love affair with celebrities and show business, or it is driven by a corporate conglomerate's bottom line. That's why KPFT is an oasis you can turn to quench your intellectual thirst. For independent, trustworthy journalism, for diverse music and culture, for radio with purpose. These days, you can't take this kind of radio for granted. Now, more than ever, it's time to make a stand with your support of community radio. 365 days a year, we need you to keep this independent voice alive and well. Simply visit kpft.org to become a member of not just a radio station, but an oasis of music, culture, news, and more. That's kpft.org. Don't wait for a pledge drive. Visit us online to join now. This is KPFT Houston.
Many of you have been longtime listeners and supporters of KPFT. This station asks you to consider establishing a bequest in your will that benefits KPFT. Supporting KPFT with a legacy gift is an easy decision to make. The future growth and excellence of our station depends on our ability to also build a permanent base of support through an active and successful legacy gift program. The next time you meet with your advisors to review your estate or long-term financial plans, please remember you can include KPFT. Ensure your commitment to public broadcasting continues on. With the help of your attorney, a bequest is simple to put in place. If you need help or have questions, call our development director at 713-526-4000. Again, that's 713-526-4000. Please join listeners like you in helping to ensure that the independent voice of KPFT will be preserved for generations to come. Name KPFT as a beneficiary in your will today. This is KPFT Houston.
And you're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast. KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and 89.7 Huntsville, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. Still waiting for, unfortunately, the computer's running really slow today.
Oh.
Massively slow.
I'm logged off out there.
Yeah, no, it's not you, it's the the computer is. It's just our connection, or this computer is just deciding.
Well, I was having trouble earlier trying to get a cell phone signal out, too.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. Well, I was, too, earlier.
Oh.
It happened to me last year at Pride. I lost contact with everybody last year.
Oh. So, while I'm waiting for the video to pull up here, this is from Queerty, who put this out here. Initial newspaper reports left out any mention of homosexuality and delighted in grisly details about the fire workers knee-deep in bodies, unquote. It's, quote, stacked up like pancakes, unquote, and, quote, literally cooked together. One paper quoted a cab driver who said, "I hope the fire burned their dress off." While radio talk show host joked, "What will they bury the ashes of queers in? Fruit jars?"
Oh, brother.
National TV stations covered the fire for one night and then never mentioned it again. Four of the victims' bodies were never identified. Some thought the families felt too embarrassed to come down and identify them.
Oh, my God.
Come on.
And you have some actual news reportage.
Yeah, that's what I'm waiting for the YouTube. They've got pictures here. Basically, somebody's done a project on this. And the main suspect of it was a hustler who got tossed out of the bar for starting a fight with another hustler. And he supposedly went to a drugstore, purchased some lighter fluid, and doused the stairs with it and set it on fire. The cops questioned him for arson, but immediately the guy went into convulsions. They took him to the hospital, where he disappeared, and they never picked him up again, despite his repeated appearances in the French Quarter. 1 year later, he killed himself. 5 days after, a friend told investigators that the guy had drunkenly admitted on four different occasions that he had started the fire. And like I said, there's on the Queerty, they've got some kind of gruesome pictures in there, especially the one with the reverend who was in the window.
Yeah.
I hate this thing's taking so long to do there.
Yeah, me too.
But like I said, it's interesting hearing the...
And this was what year again?
1973.
Okay.
This is 38 years ago. So I think... Let's see, what I'm going to do is finally the video popped up.
1973, we were just working on, in Houston, developing or starting sexual-oriented businesses. It was a fight, certainly, and the first one was called The Zipper. Yes. It was really a tacky place. They showed porno movies, and you went in and you had to buy two drinks. They were non-alcoholic, of course.
Right.
The place was raided a couple of times, and then went to a court, and they lost. So... that was the beginning of sexual-oriented business in Houston, with arcades and, all the other things.
The interesting thing you also have, with, you know, we're talking with around Pride, we always talk about Mary's being traditionally raided.
Mm-hmm. Almost every for many years, the week of Pride, Mary's would be raided.
And
they knew it.
Apparently, it's not just a Houston thing. It happens up in New York.
Oh, really?
Supposedly, this year, the bar that was picked was the Eagle.
No.
And so they were some of the blogs were trying to find people who were actually there when the raid occurred.
Mm-hmm. I'll bet.
But, you know, it's interesting to say that that's got a, you know. So finally, this thing is starting to buffer.
Mm-hmm.
On that, so I think we've got it back far enough that I can risk doing this. So can you hook up the...
Don't you have to wait until it buffers all the way?
It's just about there, so it'll catch up. It's a short video. It's only a minute 40.
Oh.
This is Upstairs Lounge Fire Network news coverage. The first one here is going to be CBS News.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up here, so you'll hear how we were covered 38 years
Police
ago.
Police arson squads are investigating the ruins of a New Orleans bar where a fire last night killed 29 persons and injured 15 others. Bruce Hall reports.
The flash fire spread throughout the second-story bar in a matter of seconds. Those who escaped reported smelling gasoline before the room was engulfed with flames. And two eyewitnesses, who would not allow their faces to be shown, told WWL-TV newsman Bill Elder it was arson.
I looked and the front door was on fire and there is nothing ignitable in that exit. Nothing in that ignitable at all.
And you say it was murder.
I'm not going to say murder. I will say that what was done intentionally.
Those inside said there was massive panic and people started running all over. Most headed for the windows, but that proved to be a tragic decision. They were stopped immediately by iron bars over the windows. Only a few people were able to slip through. Coroner Carl Raven said it also appeared there was a false wall in front of the windows. Police say the bar is a hangout for homosexuals. Homosexuals frequently carry false identification papers, making positive identification of the victims nearly impossible. Bruce Hall, CBS News, New Orleans.
Now to NBC.
The administration's chief...
This is going to be NBC News coverage of the same
story. Others, and that could lead to food shortages. Firemen searched through this, pardon me, burned building in New Orleans' French Quarter today, looking for evidence of arson. Fire broke out in the second floor bar last night, killing 29 people and injuring 15. The stock markets opened the week.
That was it.
That was it?
That was it.
Wow. Wow.
But like I said, the way that CBS, you know, do...
I like the part about homosexuals often carry false IDs. No, we didn't.
Really? Where did he get his facts from?
I don't know.
And does he have proof of this?
You know, I was around in 1973. No one I know knew back then had false identification.
But on the Queerity side, they've got a couple of pictures of from the bar and from a memorial plaque that was placed there several years ago. For this fire. And like I said, it was something that I know Jimmy's interested in our history. This is something that, you know.
That's amazing because I never heard of this. And I can see why. I mean, such little coverage.
I know today at the festival they had a tent set up for history.
Yes. Yes, they did. And they had in it the transgender history group.
Yes.
They had the Bots collection, which is over at MCC. And they had University of Houston had a bunch of really interesting stuff. Local publications I had never heard of.
Right.
And Rice University was there with the Arch Group. So we weren't because the air conditioning wasn't really up to par, and we just didn't want to put our stuff out, you know, in a high humidity situation, because that's not good for any paper product.
No, it isn't, unfortunately.
Especially one you want to keep forever.
Yeah. I got to try and get my links back up on some of the sites. I don't have any This Week in Holy Crimes.
Oh, you don't?
No, he doesn't.
Oh, well, I love that.
I saw here in Houston recently where a church volunteer was arrested.
Oh, yeah?
For molesting an 8-year-old boy.
No kid, 8?
Yeah.
What are they thinking?
Well,
what the man did was he gained the trust of the boy's mother.
Yeah.
Before he managed to get him away from get the child away from his mother.
Right.
And then that's when the incident occurred.
Yeah, oh, man.
Well, I think part of the reason why there's not any This Week in Holy Crimes, that's something that Joe from Joe My God blog puts together. Mm-hmm. And he was down covering Key West Pride, then had the Netroots.
Oh, yeah.
Conference, and now with New York Pride. And
I can understand.
It was it was a tad busy.
Yeah, that was kind of down the list
for him. And plus, one of the things he does with this is tries to connect with his readers.
Mm-hmm.
When he goes to these different towns, so he had like a little bar meet and greet in Florida. Had one up in Minneapolis. Nice. He had one when he did in New York. Mm-hmm. I think we can get him come here to Houston one time.
Yeah, that would be great.
We use it. And the interesting thing, seeing these, like I said, these different blogs that we pull all this information that we pull the information from, and a lot of it, especially when we start to get into these heavy topics, like with the gay marriage, there's a whole lot of stories about that, and it's like, after a while, I get burnt out on it. There's only so many different stories you can see about, Maggie Gallagher and what she's complaining about now. She's the National Organization for Marriage.
Oh, that one.
She's the head nommer.
Yeah.
Somebody needs to nom her head off.
One of the things I saw on here is the American Family Association's Tony Perkins is
another lovely group.
These morons up to this time.
Well, he's accusing that there was bribery afoot. That's why Republicans have helped him put through the gay marriage in New York.
Bribery where?
Oh, just backroom deals. They're promising them everything.
Oh.
Here it is. Enormous political coercion has resulted in a profound failure of moral courage in the New York Senate. A clear majority of the people of New York oppose counterfeit marriage, but Governor Cuomo and the anti-family lawmakers have shown that their allegiance is to a small but vocal minority seeking to redefine marriage and family. The so-called religious protections that were tacked onto the bill will ultimately do nothing to protect the religious rights of the New York citizens. As we go forward, there's little doubt that the incentives, some taxpayer-funded, used to sway votes, especially Republican ones, will be exposed.
Oh, brother. Everything is wrong about that. Everything.
Yes.
And first of all, it's the, how are we affecting a heterosexual marriage? I don't get it.
I know. A straight man is not going to marry a gay man.
No.
A straight,
it doesn't make sense.
A straight man's going to marry a woman.
It yes.
And if he wants to hook up with a gay man, he goes to a bookstore like God intended.
Like everybody else. Yeah.
He just takes the wedding band off when he goes in.
There you go. Sometimes they don't.
Ooh.
The first major tweet of a celebrity coming out from the gay marriage was that David Bertka announced that Neil Patrick Harris had proposed to him. And he accepted. Now he did turn around and say, I proposed to him years ago.
Oh.
But now that it's legal in New York, they intend on making honest men of one another.
Congratulations to them.
The one website was also talking about Cynthia Nixon getting married. Like I said, I was expecting them. I thought it would have been great if Governor Cuomo would have taken the bill, because he's already was scheduled to be at the New York Gay Pride Parade.
Mm-hmm.
And start off the parade, sign it in front of everybody like that.
Oh, that would have been fabulous.
But no, he went and signed it within hours of it being approved. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay.
That's even better.
But now I can imagine kicking off the gay pride parade by going, okay, let's sign this. And made a little joke. My pen's out, I think. Anybody got a pen? Then, of course, it would have been like an assassination attempt, because it would have been like thousands of pens flying at
it. I know.
Let's see, a follow-up here on a story of the the two men who were kicked out of a swimming pool, who were developmentally challenged and gay, and supposedly they have suspended the worker who threw them out and was quoting biblical scripture, but they're not claiming any wrong.
Of course not.
Yeah, never do anything wrong.
Of course not.
Part of it was...
nobody wants to take responsibility.
The there was a rally held in honor of these, in benefit or support of these guys. Yeah, I'm reading from, I can't believe I'll be saying these kind of words here, the WYMT-TV Mountain News Channel 57 report.
Wow.
Yeehaw.
Yeehaw, that's right. Where's they?
It's Hazard, I forget what state this is in.
Tennessee?
Tennessee, yeah.
Oh, my.
Don't say gay.
On Saturday, dozens of people protested the actions of a city employee who allegedly removed two gay men with disabilities from a facility run by the city of Hazard. In a report released by the city, a lifeguard at the pavilion alleges the men were repeatedly hugging and kissing. Facility official says this is inappropriate for both heterosexual and homosexual couples.
Oh, bull.
Come on.
You know, it's probably one of these very small towns,
yes.
And these two men are known by everybody
as though
they're just the eccentric guys down the street.
Right.
Well, they were part of a large group that was there.
So, what they do is okay with the citizens because they are them.
Right.
That doesn't mean that the citizens are going to be okay with anybody else doing it.
However, the Kentucky Equality Federation says the men were only sitting on each other's laps and they were discriminated against.
Mm.
Dozens from across the Commonwealth came to support the two gay men who were allegedly thrown out of the Hazard Pavilion.
Good.
It's time that people stood up for people. It's just the right thing to do, said Marsha Morgan from Leslie County. They were not kissing. There was nothing of that sort. One of them sat on the other's knee and that was it, said Jordan Palmer, president of the Kentucky Equality Foundation.
There's nothing even homosexual about that.
No.
Palmer said the pavilion worker, Kim Haynes, used the Bible to justify kicking the men out. Religion has no place in government, let alone a public facility. He did not have the right to do that to those people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's a gay rights issue because a heterosexual couple would have been treated the same, said Christy Duxton, who supports Haynes.
Hmm.
I think Kim Haynes may have a little bit of a problem being named after a girl and being a boy.
Oh, well.
Come on. Here we go. Dixon says she exercises the pavilion and knows Haynes, and who she calls a meek, good man.
Yeah.
If their behavior was extreme enough for Kim to say something to him, then it must have really been inappropriate. Hazard City Attorney said it was inappropriate for Haynes to argue with a patron and to use religious beliefs as a grounds to kick out the couple. The city did release a statement saying the employee is suspended without pay for 5 days, but Palmer says that's not enough. If he does not issue an apology and is not reassigned into a different area of government, then we will sue the city of Hazard.
Wow.
Hmm.
This is a family facility. They bring their families here. We don't want to watch men and women have sex. They don't want to watch men and men. They don't want to watch women and women, said Dixon. Christy? Dixon? Dixon?
All right.
Oh, my.
We're not going to have a problem with watching man and woman kissing.
No.
And the straight guys are probably not going to have a problem watching two women kissing.
Of course not.
As someone put on their Facebook page today, their favorite shirt they saw some woman wearing was "Yes, I am," and "No, you can't watch."
There was some women that were wearing shirts that instead of "Enjoy Coca-Cola,"
yes,
it was "Enjoy Vagina."
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Okay. Radical feminists.
Another little story here. You may have heard this. U.S. Airways kicked a college football player off for wearing saggy pants.
Yes.
What?
Yes.
Yeah. They.
How saggy were they?
Well, the traditional...
His underwear were showing.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, so.
Well,
how much of it?
According to USA Airways policy, I think it says that it's indecent exposure, right, Chris?
Well, actually, the story I'm covering is not about him.
Oh.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But, he was wearing 6 days before a college football player was arrested at San Francisco Airport in a dispute that began when a U.S. Airways employee asked him to pull up his sagging pants. A man who was wearing little but women's undergarments was allowed to fly on the airline.
Oh.
A photo of a scantily clad man was provided to the San Francisco Chronicle by a passenger on a June 9th flight from Fort Lauderdale to Phoenix. The passenger said that other passengers had complained to airline workers before the plane boarded, but the employees had ignored these compliments. U.S. Airways spokeswoman Valerie Wunder confirmed she'd received a photo before last week's incident in San Francisco and had spoken to the passenger, but said employees had been correct not to ask the man to cover himself. "We don't have a dress code policy," Wunder said. "Obviously, if their private parts are exposed, that's inappropriate. Mm-hmm. So if they're not exposing private parts, they're allowed to fly."
Mm.
The man here in question, the picture they have, is he's wearing bikini briefs, a tank top with a white, very translucent three-quarter blouse over it, and thigh-high black boots.
Oh, my.
No skirt?
No.
How long is the blouse?
It buttons only at the top. It ties at the top, so his midriff is showing. Okay, here's the story about the New Mexico, University of New Mexico player who was pulled off the flight. His pajama pants sagged to mid-thigh level. So basically his belt was mid-thigh. So his entire butt.
How do they keep them up?
They tie their belts on really good and tight.
Well, they must walk funny.
Yeah, I have a coworker who wears his low like that.
Yeah.
And
like his whole butt is out.
Yeah.
But it's covered by his uniform shirt and his hoodie.
Yeah.
But I feel like telling him, listen, you need to pull your pants up.
Yeah.
Because you look like an idiot the way you're walking.
It's a different generation.
Everyone here remember years ago that YouTube video with a screaming queen on there and a blonde wig going, "Leave Britney alone!"
Yeah.
Yes.
Well,
she's back!
Oh, yes, but
oh, dear God.
Don't be looking for Chris Crocker's new video to be appearing on YouTube.
No.
Chris Crocker, come here. Scroll down.
Shoot.
Chris, "Leave Britney alone" Crocker has transformed from an androgynous teen defending the tragically bald baby mama pop star to a scruffy young man discussing butches versus femmes on his own YouTube channel.
Really?
And now he's going to make a deeper plunge into gay media.
No pun intended.
As The Sword reports, Crocker will soon film a gay porn movie with famous gay porn director Chichi LaRue.
No kidding.
And hunky top Brent Everett.
Whatever.
What?
The only question is whether Crocker will top or bottom, though Queer Click has a clue.
Dual penetration.
To get a taste of Crocker's on-camera abilities, they've put together a safe work gallery on Queerty. Of some pictures he's been posting on his Tumblr page. There are... you can go to Queer Click and you can see the non-safe for work images.
I see.
Oh.
And what are they like?
Decent.
Decent?
In other words, he needs to tone down on the dye job.
No, it's, you know, it's...
He's got a decent-sized member?
It's not. Yeah, it's not the porn star length that you're used to seeing.
Oh.
It's average. It's
average.
And this is the top?
Well, I think part of the thing is he says he's versatile, but,
oh,
you know...
Yeah, okay, whatever.
Brent Everett is...
You can take it missionary, you can ride a cowboy.
Yeah.
But Brent Everett is a top performer.
Oh, I see. Gay for pay?
I don't know.
Well, if it's Chris Crocker and Brent Everett, Chris Crocker won't be able to walk after it's over.
Oh, my goodness. Really?
Yeah,
I don't keep up with the porn stars anymore like I used to.
Usually, I've seen Brent Everett's... A lot of his videos have been with Brett Corrigan.
Yeah.
Okay, that means nothing to me.
Brett Corrigan is the former 16 or 17-year-old gay porn star.
Oh.
He's turned himself into a brand.
And now that he is legal, he's forced to run his own company. Wes is so tired he's not even looking at the picture to say, oh.
Now he's awake.
Okay. I'm going to walk in there and look at that picture.
Yeah, I think
that woke me right up. Oh, wow.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, Paul, you got something in the mailbox for you. Yeah, that's... leave Brittany alone.
Oh, that's pretty good size.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
That's... and thick.
Jimmy, you're drooling.
Very no, I'm not. I don't like him.
He looks completely different from the dot. Dye job.
There's such a thing as too much.
Yeah.
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 But yeah, no, he's 23 now.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. He's come
along. But how tall is he?
Well, that makes a big difference.
Yes.
Yeah. So, look for that coming soon, so to speak.
I don't think he's sexy at all.
Hmm. He's sultry.
He's scrawny.
Yeah.
He looks twacked out.
He needs a sandwich.
What do you think, Wes?
I can add him to my collection.
Okay.
You have a collection now?
I'm starting one.
Yeah, you're keeping them in a cabinet?
Yeah, he's working on a collection like from, you know, QVC meets logo kind of. Okay, go away now.
Okay, go away. Next story.
I only got really one more story lined up already.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I didn't have many stories. Well, actually,
we should go to some music then.
Because I've got a beautiful story that is just, it's great for us.
Is it dripping with drama?
No, that would be you.
No, not anyway.
Yeah.
I'm talking about anyway.
Let's put it this way. Jimmy just read the headline for our last story here, and he had to cover his mouth and laugh. Because these are some words you normally don't hear. I know what we need to go to. I know what story we need to go to. It's one that's actually started here in Houston. Channel 2's been covering it. A lot of other places have been getting on to it. It's the Southwest Airlines.
Oh, the rant?
Story.
The what?
Basically, come on. I know it's on Unicorn Booty.
Uh-huh.
He was calling...
I like the other story that was on Unicorn Booty. If only it was real.
Oh. But no, the story is a pilot for Southwest Airlines didn't realize his microphone was on.
Oh, God.
And not just his a microphone to the cabin, but his one to the air tower and to all other planes.
Oh, you're kidding me.
Yeah, this guy really...
Oh, that's...
See, I heard about this story, but I didn't realize he left all that
on. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, he messed up big time.
And
talk about dropping your drawers and sticking your butt to the window.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost kind of like the mayoral candidate years back here in Houston. Mm-hmm. He realized the microphones were open and, well, cost him the election.
It probably did.
That Channel 13 is known for not having good buttons that turn off their microphone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So,
I'm trying to get the actual quote, because I would hate to, you know.
Yes.
I believe what was it? He sent him out. Grannies, gays, and grandes. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's interesting. It's talking about going on a trip to Chicago and discussing the flight attendants.
Oh.
And, you know, how ever since airport, we know of how pilots and flight attendants like to get together.
I see.
So this guy makes his rant on, like I said, didn't realize the microphone was on. He's talking to his co-pilot. And basically said he was, he went to this thing and there was like, you know, he got there and there was all these, dropping a lot of F-bombs. And so, you know, there was a bunch of these gays, grandes, and grannies. And I heard that, and I thought it sounded like a reality show starring Betty White and Delta Burke that was going to be on Logo.
Oh, yeah. That's close.
But this story, like I said, was actually broke from Channel 2 here in Houston, and it's gotten a lot of legs, even though it's happened a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where the person's already received a reprimand. I think he received a suspension for his
comments.
And
Southwest just said that that's not...
part of their corporate culture. They've denounced...
Put the big spin on it.
Yeah. They've denounced him. I think they're probably going to even, disown, fire this guy eventually for something.
They've changed their policy now because of his words and, all the basic stuff there. Channel 2 has now gone and... They didn't know who the pilot was, but now they found out who it is, and they're trying to track. They went to his house.
No,
To try and interview him, but he wasn't home at the time.
How convenient!
I bet he will never be home at the time.
And so they showed a picture of his house.
Oh no!
Oh boy, that was smart.
And apparently, they're going to be going back on Monday to try and talk to him, or at least they're trying this weekend to see if they can get him because he lives up in the Dallas area.
Mm-hmm.
They had a reporter up there to Argyle, took a picture of the water tower, took a picture of his house, and they said, he's normally running around in this park, but no one's seen him for a couple of days.
I wonder why.
Imagine that.
Could it be the Channel 2 news truck sitting in front of his house?
Yeah.
Make you kind
of... I could kind of understand why they're doing that. I mean, at least give him a chance to... tell his side of the story. At least get
what can he say?
True. Yeah.
The only thing he can say is, yeah, I said it.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the people that were there. You tell me if they don't fit in one of these three categories.
Gays, grandes,
and grannies.
Okay, what's a grande?
Big.
Oh.
That's the Delta Burke part.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Ooh, that's nasty.
Well, like I said, it was that normal conversation you have with someone, in a work environment that wasn't there, that you were expecting to be broadcast, and then, the tower comes over. Someone has a stuck microphone out there. Do you think you want to click it off?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Oops.
Trust me, the things that have been said in that lobby and on that patio out there, thank God there's not a microphone.
Because we'd have a big fine on our hands. While this is coming up here, I think we're going to have to go to some music here, Wes, because we're kind of petered out. I think we're all out. I got to say this. I still got the other story when Jimmy comes back in. Because he'll love to hear it. This past Wednesday, I had mentioned earlier, I went down to Reliant Stadium for the doubleheader soccer game.
How did that go?
Oh Lord, there was a lot of hot, cute Mexicans there, which I couldn't stare too long because I figured I was going to get my ass kicked. I mean, there were 70,000 people in attendance.
Were they with their girlfriends?
Some of them were, some of them weren't.
Don't cruise a Latino when he's with his girlfriend.
Well, there was this guy.
Wait until he's by himself. Yeah.
There was this one guy two seats down from me who kept grabbing his crotch, and it was like, ooh. How can I look forward and look at him do that and not be obvious?
Yeah.
The funny part was going between games, went to the one restroom that was closest. There's not too much of a line, not too bad. Mm-hmm. First, for the guy in front to get him out of there faster.
Well, that sounds like fun. I should start going to these games.
But, it was weird being at this event, and it's like, the first game, there was a lot of people there who were rooting for U.S., and the second game was Mexico versus Honduras, and it was like, my God, we've suddenly been transported to another place.
Mm-hmm.
You were in Houston, huh?
When the Mexican national anthem was played, I couldn't hear the music anymore.
They were screaming?
They were singing so loudly and proudly. You couldn't hear the music that was playing over the PA system.
Wow.
So, what I'm going to do is I'm going to put this out of our misery. That unicorn booty's not coming up. So I'm going to click on this other one, this last story I had that Jimmy just kind of died laughing on it.
Yes.
If I can get that to go over to that screen now.
Slow computers tonight.
I really need to see it. One of these days I'll have a laptop and just sit here and, have everything keyed into it and pull it up immediately and find some way to plug it into the system.
Oh, nice dream.
Yeah, I know. Right now I'm trying to get to, save up enough to go to San Antonio in August.
Oh.
Wow.
I see.
You'll definitely lose weight in that heat, trust me.
I'm hoping other activities will help with weight loss.
That too.
It should be a drier heat.
Yeah, it's a drier heat, especially. You know, it's like when I used to go down with my brothers to Nuevo Laredo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it may have been 103 out, but it was a dry heat. So it does make a difference.
So it only felt like 98.
Yeah.
What's the difference, right?
But this last story that I have on here is from thesmokinggun.com.
Oh, my God.
And
the title, you have to, you know, it takes you a while to understand it.
Amish sexter sought buggy sex with a girl who was 12.
Buggy sex.
My God.
I like that.
Amish sexter.
Well, they didn't have to, they don't have cars, so they can't.
No. Amish sexter.
Yes.
Yes.
That means he was using a cell phone. The Amish don't do that.
I think that means that he was 60 in his 60s.
No.
Oh.
No. That's what he was doing was what got Anthony Weiner in trouble.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Apparently, yes. Apparently it doesn't say it in here, but this guy was on Rumspringer.
Oh, I was going to say, what's the Amish guy doing with a computer?
Yeah, I'm going to say Rumspringer because he's 21 but does not have a beard. So,
okay.
So he has not completed his adult transition mm-hmm. to the Amish community.
Oh, I see.
An Amish man who sent hundreds of sexually charged text messages to a 12-year-old girl was arrested last week when he drove a horse and buggy to an Indiana restaurant where he had arranged a rendezvous with the child, according to police.
God.
What?
Nabbed in an undercover sting, Willard Yoder, 21, is facing 4 felony counts of allegedly soliciting sex from a minor.
Oh my God.
Yoder, pictured in the mugshot on the right, is free on $20,000 bond.
Mm.
In one text, Yoder told the girl that, quote, the proposed sex act would happen inside the buggy.
Mm.
What?
Yoder.
The hell?
Let's see.
Well, you know, that must have had a rumble seat. Yoder's contact with the girl began with a random text sent to her phone. When the child's parents learned of their daughter's contact with Yoder, they took control of her phone and continued communicating with him.
You're kidding.
Who sent about 600 texts as well as nude pictures and explicit videos to the girl.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
The parents then contacted police and officers took over the sting operation. After arranging the Wednesday night meeting, cops staking out the take-home restaurant reported seeing the outline of a carriage-type buggy pulled by one horse and appeared to have one occupant.
Mm.
Investigators noted Yoder, who was busted outside the eatery, was cooperative and walked his horse and buggy around the building and tied it to a post outside.
So, did they tow the horse and buggy after he was arrested?
Yeah, I'm wondering.
During questioning, cops reported Yoder admitted contacting the girl's cell phone by chance and advised that he thought he was going to have sex with a girl whom he thought was 13.
Oh, well, that makes a big difference.
Yoder also noticed that he realized it was a bad decision and had never done anything like this before.
Gee, I think.
But I think in the Amish, but is it unusual for Amish women to marry very young?
I don't think as young as 13.
Oh, okay.
I think that's the...
That's right. They get the Rumspringer, too, don't they?
That's the Amish who do the Rumspringer.
Yeah. I mean, the boys and the girls.
Yeah, the girls do that as well. 6 picture messages and 2 video messages depicting a male subject with dark hair. 5 of the picture messages showed male genitalia, and 2 showed a male subject from the chest area up.
Mm-hmm. And what about the videos?
I don't know. They need to. Well, when I advised he wanted to meet the girl.
Jimmy, take that paper towel and wipe her mouth.
Mm-hmm.
More than one text made mention of the fact that blank was 13 years old. She's actually 12 years old. Willard advised that he was 21 years of age. He requested numerous times for her to send naked pictures, specifically requesting pictures of her genitalia.
Oh, good.
Willard advised in graphic detail how he wanted to have intercourse and oral sex with the girl. Mm. This is a police report.
I mean, he's in deep doo-doo.
Yeah. He's going to be real popular when he gets to prison.
Ooh. Yeah.
And I tell you, it's really going to suck for him. He's got an even higher payday coming.
Oh. 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 Anyway.
So, I mean, that was one of those... I took pictures of the buggy and collected a cell phone from the, quote, dashboard, unquote, of the buggy.
Yeah, what, he's Amish. What's he doing with the cell phone?
I guess it's the Roomspringer part there.
Yeah, I guess
they, oh, the Roomspringer.
He advised he was a 21-year-old Amish male and could not provide a social security number.
Oh.
He had contacted the cell phone number by chance and began talking to what he thought was a 13-year-old girl. he advised he thought he was going to have sex with a girl and advised that he realized it was a bad decision and never done anything like this before. He advised her that he had sent the girl naked pictures and requested pictures from her. He said he was employed at a pallet shop and had gone to school until the 8th grade. And
a pallet shop?
Yeah.
So he's good at pallets?
So he's good at nailing things.
Yes.
Oh.
So he thought he would nail himself a 13-year-old.
Not all Amish people just build furniture and surrounds for electronic fireplaces.
Oh. What?
Well, you look lost.
I see.
Don't they pitch hay too?
Mm.
That's what he was trying to do, but the cops are stopping him. Yeah, the only thing I had to go into was Gayest Comic Book Heroes.
Oh, boy.
On that, but not Vincent in here to work on that. It's been a long day, so we didn't have a lot of stories and that, so we may end up wrapping up with music here. Mm-hmm. Hope you've enjoyed our show that we our post parade show that we put on here, except our smelliest, our gruffest, and tonight it was our most Slavic event ever.
Yes, it was.
We had two poles and two Czechs in here.
There you go.
Talk about a sausage fest.
And then you had Jose.
There you go.
But no,
that was the next second.
Okay, let's hear some music.
Let's go to some music, then we'll do a little wrap up at the very end.
Yeah, I got one that'll take us into the wrap up.
Cue it.
Here we go.
Sad and lonely face. look into the window of my mind. Reflections of the fears I know I've left behind. I step out of the ordinary. I can feel my soul ascending. I'm on my way. Can't stop.
We rode down the Westheimer.
With your eyes open?
Well, you know, it's...
Hey, what's up? Are we up yet?
Yeah, we're talking now, on air.
Oh, okay, live.
Oops.
Yeah, we're live. We're coming up at the top of the hour here.
Some of us are still alive.
Zydeco Pasolale, followed by the Red Eye. Especially if you want to find out what all the programming is on KPFT, go over to kpft.org. Turn his mic on, please.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize it was in there.
No, it's okay. Yeah, once again.
Hey, no taking pictures of me.
Why not? Once again, this was our Pride weekend.
Oh, it was great. It's our 4th of July. It's our Independence Day. That's what Pride Day is.
It's contrary to what the sanitized version for your protection is. It's the day a bunch of drag queens, bull dykes, and underage hustlers said, I'm not going to take this crap anymore.
Mm-hmm.
and stood up for themselves for the first time ever. And it grew. The next night, more people came out. It's not just a one-night thing. People don't think remember that.
No, it's a whole weekend.
It was a weekend event. More queers showed up, and more cops showed up the next night, and they rumbled. And the third night, they did it again.
Mm-hmm.
And that was our start. That was our Bunker Hill of deciding we're not going to take this anymore. And we've come a long way in the... trying to do the math real quick in my head, 42 years.
Oh. Yeah.
Since then. And look where we've come. We are now celebrating 42 years of Stonewall. We're celebrating 10 years of Lawrence B., Texas. And what, 72 hours of gay marriage in New York State.
Yes, it's just wonderful.
We've got a long, we've come a long way. We've got a long way to go. And like the song says, what have you done today to make you feel proud?
Yeah.
And whether it's you went with walked in the parade, you watched the parade, you listened to us talking about the parade, or you just stood up this morning, looked in the mirror and go, I'm gay.
Mm-hmm. To yourself. Or?
That's an important first step.
Yes, it is.
And we hope you're here with us next week. We'll have Hatch on. We will have all of the Shorts of Insanity. We'll probably hear some more of them for how their pride went.
Mm-hmm.
This has been After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude. Listener sponsored commercial free Pacific Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, 89.7 Huntsville, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. Zydeco Pasta LA starts right after the PSAs.
Whales, enormous, mysterious, ancient mammals of the sea. They have lived in the world's oceans long before humans existed. We are awed by them, and we have worked to protect them. But now whales, dolphins, and other marine life are faced with a new and deadly threat. Our U.S. Navy is about to deploy an outdated and unnecessary sonar system called low-frequency active sonar. LFA is an underwater sonic bomb which blasts through hundreds of miles of ocean, a sound so loud that it can kill and maim whales and other sea animals. Many scientists predict that LFA could be disastrous for sea life. Join our urgent campaign to stop the Navy from using this lethal underwater weapon. Contact us now at SeaFlow, that's SEAFLOW, on the web at seaflow.org, or phone 415-454-4443. That's seaflow.org or phone 415-454-4443.
Tune in to 90.1 weekdays at 6 p.m. for some of Houston's best arts, news, and talk. On Monday, join Ira Glass for unique stories and insight on This American Life. Tuesdays, Dr. Michio Kaku joins us from our sister station, WBAI, for science, politics, and the environment on Explorations. On Wednesdays at 6, tune in to national and international coverage on Uprising. It comes to you from our sister station, KPFK. On Thursdays, check out Great Speakers and More with David Barsamian on Alternative Radio. Fridays at 6, catch If You Love This Planet with Dr. Helen Caldicott. It's part of our new evening lineup featuring programming from across the Pacifica Network and beyond. So tune in weekdays at 6 p.m. You are listening to commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio, KPFT Houston. We'll be right back.